Hi, this is Tony Roberts, and you're listening to WBAI.
And you are tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York, and this is Night Shift. Mike Sargent, and we're going to have another special episode for you this week. It's going to be a combination of some flashbacks, a few new things, but more importantly, we have movie tickets to give away. That's right. Listening to Night Shift can pay off. So here's all you have to do. First of all, you should get a pen or have your computer, your phone, or something in front of you. You're going to have to write WBAI Movie Ticks. That's T-I-X at gmail.com, W-B-A-I Movie Ticks at gmail.com, and just put the Bye-Bye Man in the heading. And I will email you a pair of passes to see that new horror movie this Wednesday, 7:30 at the AMC. That's Wednesday, January 11th. That's all you have to do. Email W-B-A-I Movie Ticks, T-I-X, at gmail.com. Bye-Bye Man. I'm going to play you the trailer.
You hear the stories every day. Violent crimes. Countless victims. Unthinkable acts. You wonder what could possess a person to do such terrible things. But it's not a matter of what made them do it.
Don't say it. Don't think it.
It's a matter of who.
Something's coming.
What? The Bye-Bye Man. He's trying to get inside of me.
Don't say it, don't be it.
He makes us do things.
Don't say it, don't be it.
The more scared we are, the more powerful he gets.
So Bye-Bye Man is directed by Stacy Tytle, and it's a screenplay by Jonathan Penner. It's based on a novel, actually, called The Bridge to Body Island by Robert Damon Schneck. And this actually looks to be a slightly above-average horror film. It's got Carrie Ann Moss from The Matrix in it, and Oscar winner Faye Dunaway. So this is kind of an interesting film. The premise is that people commit unthinkable acts every day, time and time again, and we grapple to understand what drives a person to do such terrible things. Well, this is a movie that explores, or in its press release says, exposes the evil behind some of the most unspeakable acts committed by man, and it's somewhat based on a true story. So, If you want to get tickets to see The Bye Bye Man this Wednesday at the AMC Empire in 42nd Street at 7:30 p.m., now, of course, you better get there like 6:30 if you're going to go. But all you have to do to get a pair of tickets right now, just because you're listening to Night Shift, is email WBAIMovieTix@gmail.com. Now, here's a little bit of Night Shift DGM, as we call it, damn good music. And then we're going to be going to some classic Night Shift, which I think you will enjoy. Couple shows, The Return of Chris, another show with Valley Dawn, who you haven't heard from, two shows with Valley Dawn. Byron's in there, Elena's in there, Danny's in there. It's going to be quite a show. And then I have a few surprises from very, very, very much back. In the day, 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 in the day,
we'll be right back.
name of the show?
Night Shift.
It's not like anything else here.
It's all you can think about.
On the air.
All you can listen to.
And it only happens once a week.
Oh, no. So good, though.
Night Shift.
Night Shift.
Mondays. Try it.
Just once. You'll never stop.
Holiday sales drive. Lease the 2000.
I wish they'd hurry up with that transmission. I want to go to bed.
I suggest that you reach deep down inside yourself there and try and find something that'll keep you awake just a little while longer, because this transmission coming up may just rekindle your will to live.
Hi, this is Valley Forge, Berkshire Sequoia. Valley Forge, Berkshire Sequoia.
This is Calm Central. Channel open for Executive Order AUC-3423.
Listen to this, boys.
And you don't think it's time somebody had a dream again, huh? You don't think that it's time that somebody cared enough to have a dream?
It seems to me that the overall vagueness of your memory suggests that we might clarify them a little bit by hypnosis. Would you be agreeable to that?
Hypnosis?
It's a simple process. It's sometimes very helpful in cases of psychological trauma when people have difficulty remembering what happened to them.
It's not exactly the electric chair.
I'm going to count to 10 as you're falling asleep. And when I'm finished, you'll be deeply, deeply asleep. 1, falling asleep. 2, 3, 4, 5, falling asleep.
It is time.
people.
Thank you.
Talking about it, and I have no idea. I have no idea. I have no idea why I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing, you know, talking about this. I saw something, they saw something. There was a lot of light. That's all I remember.
Consuelo, they're not human. It's an invisible barrier. Keeps anyone from getting out. It's designed to keep me inside, but it keeps everyone else in too. I'm sorry. The 70 billion people of Earth, where are they hiding?
I think there's no place to hide. I think there's no place to hide. I think there's no place to hide.
They ain't working.
WBAI.
Night shift again. Night shift again. Night shift again.
The name of the show.
Night shift.
Family.
It only happens once a week.
Once a week. Is it Monday nights or Tuesday morning?
It only happens here. Here. And listen to Sponsored Radio.
WBAI.
99.5. The name of the show.
Phones if you call us. Ah, night shift. Night shift. Night shift. Oh. You know, I had a feeling you were coming tonight. I had a real feeling you were coming tonight. And you know, I was so excited because I will you get on a mic as soon as you can? How are you? What's going on? Oh, I've got goosebumps.
I heard you doing the heavy breathing thing.
Oh, did you? You were doing the night shift. 10th
Eastern sponsored radio. WBAI.
Night shift.
Here we are.
Yes.
Night shift. Oh, I'm loving that shirt too, Mike Sargent. Oh, yeah. Very cool. No, I'm in New York. I'm supposed to say it's sick. It's really sick.
Oh, really? You are. You are living it.
All right. We're all internet savvy and everything now.
Oh, we're doing whatever. We're trying to find our way along the line.
It's good.
He's trying to be like Joe. Joe gets on the show and just plays with the computer. I know you do too.
I do too.
Valley, I've seen you get lost in the computer. You tend to listen to sponsored radio,
not
WBAI.
Lost. Val, you can sit over there. You don't have to sit on my lap.
I'm Mike Sargent. I'm here with
you can sit right there.
The
sit
original
I'm coming closer.
Something from
what am I? The original
time.
What?
The original something from some
oh
point
my God.
Has
how
returned.
Is this mic on? Turn her this mic
and
on.
I didn't even get a hug. She's there next to you.
Of course. I got a whole thing going on.
It's the long hair.
Let me look into your eyes. I have a whole eye thing going on.
WBAI 99.5 FM. The name of the show is Night Shift, and the setup.
Yeah, what setup? You're setting us up?
Is different. But somehow.
It's all the same.
It's the same.
It's all good. It's beyond good.
I would ask you to...
Well, you tuned to listen to Smarty Radio,
WBAI. To play the very game with me, but
the show is in motion. Here on Night Shift, life is like science fiction.
I can't help myself right now.
And I'm sorry. I've come to realize doing the show that my life, in a way, is like science fiction. People I know. People like Chris.
Characters.
Valley, you're from your own planet too, Valley. Don't act like you're not a character. Valley, total character.
Why do you say she's a total character?
She is, because she is. Get to know her just a little bit.
No, look, she's got a whole thing going on.
Yes.
That was, you know, that was Mike's old statement back in the old days. When we used to hang out, he would like, he would say like, she had a whole thing going on.
Yeah.
You know? And then, and the second thing, like, we would be hanging out in a room and doing something, and he would be like, hey man, you know, she's, I'm like, what? She's, digging your scene. You know, and I'll be like, really?
This is a good thing.
And then he's like, she has a whole thing going on. So,
what are you deciphering, Mike Sargent?
So when we were talking the other day, he goes, I said, so what's Val's story? He goes, she has a whole thing going on.
Val's got a whole thing going on.
Does anybody out there tonight have a whole thing going on?
No, I do have a subject.
Yeah. I need the microphone going on.
Yeah, can you turn
your microphone
up?
Your microphone is on. Calm yourself. Turn up your
is mine on?
Turn up your headphones. Then.
Is mine on? Yeah, okay. Yes. I have a whole.
Is your headphone output not happening?
It's kind of weird. You know.
Let's see.
Do you have a whole thing going on, Mike?
I try to.
So explain to me why it's like science fiction. Like, what happened to you today? Because I could tell you a lot of.
Okay, you could tell me what.
I could tell you. I mean, I was in North Carolina. Like, I was in North Carolina. Let's say, like. 14 hours ago, you know, and there was a whole thing going on down there.
Well, you know, I've heard tell that in most parts of the world,
sweet tea is like you sit there and they give you more sweet tea. And I ate at some of the best places that you could ever imagine. This food was just I don't know what it was called.
You went down to North Carolina to have tea?
Yeah, just to have sweet tea.
I understand.
Sweet tea and other
continental kind of guy.
Oh, I was having sweet tea.
What about mint juleps? Aren't you supposed to have
mint juleps
when you're down there?
Just all kinds of. North Carolinian food.
Is it mint
and I started
julep
talking
tea?
Like this. I said, well, hello, how are you? And they were like looking at me because every once in a while I would slip up. And they were like, you're a Yankee, aren't you?
Slip like, up from what? Like
talking
from
like
being
a
fool?
Talking
you're lucky
like
they didn't
this.
Give
they
you a wedgie right your ass out of town.
They said, you one of those Yankees, aren't you? And I was like, I got a whole thing going
oddly
on.
Oddly enough, listening to Chris, you wouldn't think there would be a theme to the show. But the theme to the show... is
insult one has come out.
Here's the question. Here's the theme. And here's the theme. This is for you too, Valley.
Mm-hmm.
You have to answer the theme, the question, the night shift question, which is the theme. How has your world changed in the last year? Chris?
I could say my life changes on a constant.
I'm sure, but what's the most significant change over the last year in your life?
A lot, man. Just, you know, just my perspective of how I view the world and how...
in regards to...
Just in regards to, let's say, you know... And I've talked to you about this a lot. You know, if you have a plan, it's like, go tell God your plan. You know, I've got a plan of what I want to do with my life or what I want to do. And it's like, he'll just start laughing.
Oh, I've heard that quote.
I mean, it's not anything.
You want to hear God laugh, make plans.
Make big plans. And and the thing is that, you know, sometimes, you know, you show up thinking you know what it is you want to do and you think you know it and you think you got it. And you show up and you're Charlie Brown. You know, I mean,
so
you know,
this is something significant in your life,
you know,
a plan you had did not happen.
Yeah, I mean, well, plans that I may have thought like this may be the direction of where I want to go with my life or whatever it is, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, wait a second, this may not be in the direction you want to go or what you may want to do, and or who you want to do it with or who you don't want to do it with, and then you know. Then you start looking at, you said, you know, how life can change in an instant just like that, and it can. So are you going to do what you want to do instantaneously? Like someone started complaining to me. I said, well, put your hand in your pocket and pull out some change and get on it. You know, and that's what I've
pull out some change and get on it. Yeah. I hear you, man. Well.
So that's this is where I'm
grotto.
At. When you say to me, what have I learned? To stick your hand in your pocket. And pull out some change do what it is you really want to do. You know, if you want to be on the radio in New York, you know, you get your butt down
and you
hang out with Mike Sargent, you know, or whatever it is
party
you want
on.
To do, you know, and
party
if,
on,
you know, party on, God, man. You know, if you want to share grapes with Val, you just, you know, you bring a vine of grapes, you know?
Yes.
But
I think a lot of times people don't know what they really yearn for on the inside, though, because so many times we're caught up in doing the day-to-day things. I had somebody do a really interesting exercise on me lately, and it taught me something about myself that I had no clue. And they said, do this in your heads, guys listening out there. They said, imagine tomorrow you inherit hundreds of millions of dollars, not a few million.
Right.
Okay? And so now we're going to warp ahead 6 months from now. And I want you to envision that you are in bed and you're in great sheets and great comfort and you're waking up and you're just, it's not an alarm clock. You're just waking up and coming into awareness and you remember where you are and who you are and what's happening in your life. And you are smiling because now you're going to throw the covers back. You're going to get up. And 6 months has gone by. So you have bought presents for everyone you could have possibly bought them for, given gifts of homes and cars and jewelry and traveled and kind of gotten all of that out of your system. You're getting up out of bed and you are anticipating this day because you are going to do what? What is it that you really, really want to do inside that would make you feel like throwing back the covers and getting up and that you're looking forward to? And there's one answer that everyone predominantly says when they're asked this question, when you go through this exercise, one type of an answer. And then me, the heartless wench, after you give that one answer, I'm going to go a little deeper and say, okay, that's the answer that everyone usually comes to initially. Now, after that, what do you want to do? So what would you say? And this isn't like a quickie, you know, the answer doesn't just pop up like a Pop-Tart popping out of a toaster.
Wait, hold on, Chris. Before you answer that question.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Valley's very, very slick how she doesn't answer our question.
Yeah.
But she asks her own question. You know?
I do want to answer, but before I give my answer, I want you to go through the thought process I went through so you'll kind of understand when I say my answer why I came up with it.
Intellectual context to your answer.
Right.
I understand.
There's a lot. I mean, there was a couple things that happened to me over the last 2 months that I talked about. Matter of fact, you know, you weren't on the show when I was on 2 weeks ago. Have you ever looked into somebody's eyes and had like this most incredible connection? Like, have you?
Mm-hmm.
Really? And, well, this person that I've had that with, I mean, I'm so Charlie Brown, okay? So there's no way in the world anything's ever going to happen because I'm so Charlie Brown. But today's her birthday.
Oh, nice.
Isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So... okay, so now, so look into my eyes, Val.
So you're pulling back the covers.
No, check it out. Yeah, yeah. So,
you're going to get up.
Yeah,
you're going to do something.
What am I going
to
do?
Something with the day. What are you looking forward to?
Looking into that girl's eyes. Oh, come on, can I? What? Why are you rolling your eyes?
That's
it's not a man thing.
No,
it's an amazing, incredible...
True. No, it's important to be with someone you value, but what are you going to do with your talents? What are you going to do with your time? What are you passionate about? What is it deep inside you that you really would look forward to spending your time doing and you would feel good about? If absolutely the millions and millions are in the bank, everybody's, you know, given presents and you've traveled and you've done whatever it was that you
what's
have
the
been.
Most important thing that you'd want I'd
that's
want
right
to do.
Wake Mike, up Mike, how about you? just think about it for a minute.
Yeah,
it's not a quick thing.
No, it's absolutely. I know Mike, one of Mike's answers.
So do I, but
you
I want
to yeah, no Michael answer. I'm not gonna answer for Mike, but I mean, you know, he's gonna go ahead, Mike.
I'm the host.
Spit the grape out.
I'm the host.
Yeah.
I don't have to answer.
you don't have to answer,
but that's why we're curious about what you think.
I
will say this, though.
Well, what about you? What would you like to do?
Well, my very first thought when I did this mental exercise, my very first thought is, and let me preface this by saying, thankfully, a few weeks ago, I received an award for writing the best TV commercial of the year.
Congratulations.
So thank you.
Excellent.
So when
writing the best TV commercial?
Mm-hmm.
Which one was that?
Songbird Writer. Hearing. It won for best TV commercial of the year. So,
what's that award? What's that called?
It's
an EPI,
something like that.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So, that's, congratulations.
Thanks. So anyway, I was thinking maybe I'd like to have a really great marketing company. Maybe one here, one in London, one in LA. marketing is my thing and writing, and hire the best of the best and really try to have integrity and creativity and all of those types of things. So initially, that's what I was thinking my answer would be. Only when I went through this mental exercise and I went through the steps of really putting myself in the bed, getting throwing the covers back, now what do I want to do? I thought, whoa, this is a surprise. What I really want to do is something with art, something artistic. Then the person who was talking me through this said, that's the number one answer everyone says, because that's typically what gets pushed to the back burner in our busy lives now, and we can't do it. So then, after you say, okay, I want to draw or work with music or write or do a screenplay or whatever, you know, the art thing, let's say that that is worked into your life and that's a component of your life. Okay, great. Now, what else do you want to do? This is the critical thing right here. Do you envision that you'd be a motivational speaker? You'd be working to coordinate some type of a charity? Do you want to form your own company? Is something you're doing now on a small scale you want to do on a bigger scale? This is the crux of what is it you're passionate about that you would look forward to, that you would want to spend your time or your talents doing. And for me, I had an epiphany. It was not marketing. I was like, here I could go doing whatever I want, and it wasn't marketing. You know what I wanted to do? Two things. I wanted to do something that would help kids to be able to get books and read throughout the world that don't have access to words, because words are so important to me in reading, and I think, you know, intelligence is power. And the second thing was, lo and behold, I want to do some type of a talk show or something where I could interview people, not just celebrities, but all kinds of people, about their successes and about how they overcame adversity.
Yes. How you got from where you are to where you are.
That would motivate other people. That's what I would do, even if it was just for free.
Right. So she's applying for a job here at Night Shift.
I'm signing up. I'll do Windows.
You're tuned to listen to Sponsored Radio.
There's a button here for call.
WBAIM. You have to understand something.
Yes, I know. You haven't given
those
out the phone
people
number.
Who are calling now.
Yeah, keep calling.
Those are callers.
I know. We like you.
I haven't even given out the number.
No, you don't have
you
to.
Understand. And do you know the number here, Valley?
212-209-2900.
Now, the theme of the show
is,
believe it or not, is what has changed most significantly in your life in the last year.
So that changed for me, my whole perception of what's
now,
important.
Well, now, hold on. Now, so you're saying that basically, now, in understanding your answer.
Her and I are on the same wavelength, by the way.
Of course.
We have a whole thing going on.
I know, we have a whole thing going on. What do we do?
I think she's digging your scene.
Touching my leg.
Ooh.
You know, this is how it all starts.
That's the janitor that just walked by.
All right, exactly. All right, now, Valley, so my understanding then is the biggest change is in you realizing that your altruistic nature is stronger than you ever imagined?
Well, I always knew I wanted to do charity things, but I thought given the money and everything that I would want to maybe build a really great marketing firm and maybe hire interns, give low-income kids
a chance to excel,
whatever. But when I really got down to it and I selfishly thought, what would I really get the most psychic income out of? It would be facilitating kids to be able to read and learn, number one. And number two, being in a position where I could interview or bring out the best success stories or motivational stories in regular people and celebrities, but not just celebrities, on how they've overcome adversity or how they've succeeded.
Power talk.
Yeah, exactly. So anybody listening would go, all right, tomorrow I'm getting up and I'm kicking ass and I'm staying on my mission and I'm doing this.
All right, now, if that's your answer.
Then you have to.
Wait, if that's your answer, then that begs the second question.
Yes.
Second question is, okay, well, it's a two-part question. This is a change. This is not a realization now. We're talking about a change in your life, in your world. Now, when did you realize this and how has your life changed since this epiphany?
There you go.
I just realized it a couple of weeks ago because I had a friend talk me through this exercise. I mean, prior to that, I wouldn't have even thought it until I put myself in those sheets in that bed and went, whoa, it's not what I wanted to put all my time into, what I thought.
Put myself in those sheets in that bed.
Yeah.
Mentally.
I understand.
You know?
I understand. I was just taking it in.
Yeah.
Now, okay, I'll buy that. Okay.
And so for right now, thankfully, I'm getting some really good hits on my website of the DR Writer thing, the direct response. It's drwriter.com, so I've been getting some job offers on there. And I'm going to do that now, but now I know that what I really want to do is bigger than that. Mm-hmm. So I'm practical. I don't think that, okay, I'm going to buy 10 lottery tickets tomorrow and scratch them all off and be ready to go with plan number B. But at least it's important to me to know that that's really what would drive me and make me happy and what I would really value most.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to start doing things in my life right now to make that happen, even if it's only part-time or in a smaller degree or networking or whatever.
So basically, you don't want to spend any more time to... You don't have time to play. You got to get... You know, what we're talking about is there's no more time to play at the moment.
Okay.
We got to get
action. All right, Valen. So I'm going to encapsulate what you're saying.
Oh, I can see it being encapsulated right now.
Uh-huh.
To say that you had a realization that has forced you to change the focus of your life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. And for you, Chris, you've had enough experiences or the accumulation or culmination experience that's made you realize that planning is fine, but you know what? There are things that are above.
Yeah, even no matter what
that are out of your hands. Yeah,
everything's out of your hands. I mean,
I
was talking to a guy that had an antique shop. His shop burned down over the winter. He rebuilt his shop, and I saw him, and I hadn't seen him in 2 or 3 months. And I'm like, "Hey, how you doing, man?" I was really happy when I drove by, and so I was smiled. I said, "I smiled. I was happy to see that your shop." And he couldn't move his left arm, and I'm like, what's the matter? He goes, well, I was up on the roof and I fell off the roof and my left arm is paralyzed.
Mm.
I can't move it at this point. It's been like this for 3 months.
Mm.
And he turned to me and he says, I want to tell you something. Mm. Your life can change in a second. And he goes, do you hear what I'm saying?
I hear you.
He goes, your life can change in a second.
Have you heard that song by Tim McGraw? It just got Song of the Year.
Whoa.
It was along those lines. It's called Live Like You're Dying.
Live like you're dying, man. Well, we are. Get busy living or get busy dying.
All right, so
Shawshank Redemption, yeah.
So I have very interesting co-hosts, I will say. And the phone number here, Chris, do you know what it is?
212-209-2900.
Oh, pretty good,
man,
pretty good.
We're rocking over here, yeah.
Let's see. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes.
Yes. Good
yes.
morning.
Yeah, you know, I was listening to the young lady. I felt compelled to call.
You felt compelled? To call.
Good. Yeah. What is your name, first of all?
Well, my name is, can I say
it? Use any name you want,
name,
sir.
Like,
pick a name.
Yeah, pick a cool name.
Mr. Friendly.
Yeah.
Mr. Friendly. Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Friendly.
You know, this it's a very interesting subject you're talking about because, I mean, I had this thought myself.
Which thought was that, sir?
Thought as far as what do I really want to do in life?
That's the deep thought. That's the thought.
Yeah.
The soul-searching thought.
Yes, yes. And I went back way back when I was younger, and it seemed as though I used to want to be an astronaut.
All right. Now, you got to slow this down, sir, because this is a good one. Go ahead.
Yes. I used to want to be an astronaut.
An astronaut?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And
that's awesome.
As I got older, I developed more interest in music. And then now, it seems as though I want to be more of a spiritual thinker. I enjoy philosophy, theology, all the science that, you know, that has to do with creation. Now, I want to say one thing, right? The world is ever-changing. Mm. So I don't think there's any one thing that a person, you know, will do for the rest of his life. Because you may want to do one thing today, but tomorrow,
we're evolving. We're a work in progress.
Yes, work in progress. So I don't know if it's fair to say that a person is made to do one thing for the rest of his life.
I don't think so. I
what about stay married to one person? Do you believe in that?
Married to one person.
Yeah, is that possible? Can you have sex with the same person for the rest of your life? My goodness.
It depends how many sets of lingerie she has and how creative she is.
Well, yes, I just want to know your thoughts on that, sir.
Yes, well, my thoughts on that, basically...
What about just holding somebody? What about that, man?
You know, there's a
Mr. Romantic, what about...
What about just holding somebody?
Well, see...
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Friendly.
Continue,
Mr. Friendly, what about you holding somebody? I mean, come on. Let's all just hold each other
right
now.
Stop. Okay. Let him make his point. Sir, you have a point, right?
Yeah, I do have a point. There's a confusion between morals and our flesh.
Wait. The confusion between morals and our flesh.
Right.
By our flesh, you mean the...
No, 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 I can break that down.
Break it down, Valley.
Between the big head and the...
Oh, stop!
No, it's true.
Stop! Now, Valley, you speak like a woman. What are you, a woman?
Who, me?
No, no, I'm talking about Valley.
Oh, okay, now...
Yeah, who, you? You, sir.
No, no.
Yeah, you. What are you, a woman?
No, no. Well, okay. See, I think this, we only live life once. And let's
unless you're Shirley MacLaine, and then you live life 54 times.
Unless you've got tickets and you're Dracul.
Okay, yeah, only one time.
Season tickets.
Right, we only live once.
Yeah, so basically you may think that, okay, you're going to be with one person for the rest of your life, but as you get older, you're saying to yourself, man, life has passed by. I mean, I could have been with this person, that person. Mm. But
life has passed by. Yes.
Life has passed by.
Life has passed by.
That's when you put your hand in your pocket and you got 10 cents.
Which one do you choose?
Do you choose morals or do you choose,
experience?
Because you feel like you're going to die, you may as well have sex with everything in sight. Is that a realization, sir? Or are you just breaking down to your basic instincts?
I'm just breaking it down. I mean,
I understand.
No, but it's not all about sex.
Yes.
You can agree. Just because you're inferring of having relationships with other people, you get a lot more out of it than sex. You learn, I think, from each person you're with.
If you're smart.
So it's not just sex to be gleaned from a multitude of relationships. Mm. It's diversity of cultural points. It's tricks about how to do things faster, better, cheaper, whatever.
Tricks.
I mean, you learn from each other.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you have an excellent
tricks.
Point.
You learn tricks. Valley, wait, I want to this whole thing about learning tricks from people. Talk to me.
Let me explain.
Sounded like a sociopath.
Yes, Mr. Friendly, I'm listening to you.
Yes. You say, you know, you get different. It's more about. It's
about tricks, sir.
It's about tricks.
The tricks that you can learn from others.
Tricks.
Yes,
the rabbit.
Exactly.
The cereal.
I mean, I can look at myself, my personal relationship with different women, let's say.
Uh-huh.
Not all of them I have sex with. As a matter of fact, I only have sex with one of them, right?
Well, hold on, sir. Before you go too far into that, what did you mean in your answer? I interpret your answer, you say, well, life has gone by, and you say, you know what, let your morals lax. What are you talking about? Are you talking about just having lots of female friends? I don't think so.
Okay.
I think you're talking about something else that has to do with the flesh, sir.
Exactly.
Come on.
Well, the flesh is weak. But sometimes when you get deeper in the conversation with the person, you realize that there's more than just sex.
I agree.
You know, talking to that person. Mm-hmm. So then basically you discover more interest besides sex.
Hopefully.
Yes, sir, is that what? Okay, sir. All that is nice. You're painting a nice picture, but you're not saying what you really mean, because where does the conflict then? If you're meeting all these people and having these wonderful conversations, where's the conflict between morals and flesh? Talk to me. What are you talking about?
Sometimes throughout the whole finding yourself and knowing... Knowing the other person, then the confusion becomes a little less intense. You know what I mean? So then sometimes you may cross boundaries. You may go...
Past the moment.
Plan.
You may go and... Yeah, you may seize the moment.
Yeah. But...
You may seize the moment. And then where are you?
Yeah, that's a t-shirt, Chris. You may seize the moment.
Yes.
People
and that.
Valley, if you wore that, people would just start grabbing you.
Really?
Yeah, but, they would.
She can handle herself.
But don't you think, Mr. Friendly, my love out there, don't you think that to be really, really a good sexual encounter, there needs to be an emotional and a spiritual connection also? Or I'll just say that really makes it powerful.
Have some morals, for God's sake.
After a certain point.
Don't let them go lax. Life didn't pass
by. But there is that essence of the moment, and then you get into the eyes.
No, you can still have the moment.
Yeah. Exactly.
You can still have quickies, even if it's someone with whom you have a spiritual and emotional connection.
I can have an incredible
connection.
Moment out of,
of
the
can.
Eyes, man. I'm just,
as a matter of fact,
I'll search my whole life for that again. And I won't be Charlie Brown next time around.
Chris.
But yes,
you know,
I
completely agree with that. Because you're going to have a one-night stand with a person you just met.
Uh-huh.
And it's not going to be as significant as if you're having sex with a person in which you had
the eyes.
Connection.
You have a lot. Yeah, you're connected morally, spiritually, and you share the same...
Did you say connected morally? Sir. Sir, what are you into? All right, hello, you're in the air.
The glass of water theory of one of the Russian revolutionaries is that Alexander Kalantai said that having sex is like drinking a glass of water. Like, if you need a glass of water, you drink. If you don't, you're not thirsty, you don't drink.
What if the sex is like a fine wine?
Ah, well, then it's to be savored and enjoyed.
There it is.
Alex, the dude, obviously was never into Tantra, or he never experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
He was just all about the gulping of the water.
The essence of him fill him. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, there's more people on the air.
Yes?
We're having a party.
I know people are having great fun there, but the BI News Department's not reporting a 15-year-old got shot in the groin, speaking of sex, over in Staten Island on Friday by an out-of-control cop.
Out-of-control cop.
And I know you guys, it's really not your fault that the BAI News Department is messing up on this, so don't take it personally, you guys. But
no, I don't take it personally. If they slipped up, you know what? Damn it. I'm going to say something.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something.
Go ahead.
Don't slip up. I'm make it known that that's how I feel.
Thank you for calling in.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, it's Gigglebox.
Gigglebox.
Chris, do you have any idea who Gigglebox is?
Yeah, I have a clear idea. I'm looking at a picture right now. It's coming up on the website.
It's coming up on the
site. No, when she calls in, it automatically comes up. Gigglebox.com.
Valley, this is Gigglebox. Gigglebox, this is Valley.
Hi.
Hi.
Gigglebox has new digs now. New digs.
Yeah?
Huh? What?
You got new digs.
Yes, I do. A much bigger room.
So have you been listening while we've been talking?
Same padding. Go ahead. What?
Have you been listening?
Yes, I have, for the last
10 minutes? So then let me ask you this. If you were throwing back the covers and stepping out of bed, what would it be for you?
I'd be waking up to work on a plan for my Entertainment Youth Center.
Entertainment Youth Center.
Nice.
Now, question for you.
Yes?
Gigglebox. What has changed most significantly in your world in the last year?
Actually, a very big change. I finally figured out what the hell I want.
What do you want?
What I want in life. I know what I'm going to be doing a year from now. I plan on being in L.A.
Okay.
That's the plan.
Okay.
I know, as he said, when you met, you want to see God laugh, make plans.
Yeah.
I can tell you some great restaurants to enjoy there, too, and some great beach spots.
Well, good, because I'm opening up a bar and restaurant when I get out there.
Oh, perfect.
So, that'll help.
That's where I moved from.
Oh, okay.
Former Angelino.
Yeah. Oh. You tell me some good places I can go here, and I got your back, girlfriend.
Chris?
Will do.
Yes, my brother.
And...
yes.
What's that sound? But
that's the sound of change coming. It is.
Figure out what I want to do in life. I made a really big list of all the stuff I've ever wanted to do in life.
Right.
And I canceled anything that looked completely unrealistic. Uh-huh.
You mean you made the list? Yeah. Everything you want to do in life.
It's very embarrassing.
How old are you now, Gigglebox?
I just turned 21 last month.
Damn. Listen, you know who A.E. Hausman is? Read that poem now.
The only man in the hole.
Stop.
Which poem?
In the hall.
When I was 1 in 20, I heard a wise man say,
"There it is.
Give pounds and crowns and guineas, but not your heart away."
Oh,
I love that one.
It's a great poem.
He was
you have
quite
to read
cynic,
it when
Hausman.
You're 21. You have to read it now. It will have significance now. 21 years from then, you'll be like, wow.
I love that poem. Read it. It's great. Hausman was a smartass and a cynic who was succinct, and it's great. When I was
smartass,
1 in 20.
Succinct, cynic. Say that five times fast.
Little Rascals. What was that thing? Read the poem.
What's the phone number here, Valley?
212-209-2900. Call us.
But, sir, do you want to know the funny thing about this, though?
Sure.
About
after
what?
Making that list and making the plan, all the stuff I've, like, crossed off the list is now, like, popping up. Something I've dreamt about since I was a kid, I finally got to do on Friday. I sing in a recording studio.
You sang
nice.
In a recording studio.
That was your moment.
Yeah.
That was really cool, but, like, didn't I just cross this off the list?
Yeah, hey, you know what? Cross it off the list is a good thing. I cross a lot of things off my list. A couple things
but
left.
If fate
hello,
puts
you're
them
the
back
air.
On your list, you go for it, girl.
What's that?
Come on, we'll see. How
are y'all? Alright, who is this?
Yeah.
Luis.
Luis.
Hello, Luis.
Hey, man.
Hi.
What's changed in your life, Luis, in the last year?
In the last year?
Yeah.
Well, I've been working steady.
Yeah.
And I'm making a decent income.
Okay. All right. I hear you. That's
there
a good change. Significant change.
All right, you can meet us for breakfast after the show.
Oh, man, she got a whole thing going on already with the listeners.
That'd be nice, though, but how about you come down for lunch?
All right.
See, she's accommodating. She'll be down for any kind of a free meal, you know.
Hey, I didn't say I wasn't even buying.
Oh, I understand.
Ooh, hello, you're buying. On here. I'm on
there. Tell me some slack.
Hello? Yeah, man.
How you
Mike,
doing?
Back me up. Don't I buy sometimes?
She does. She does.
What was that?
I don't know, Mr. Feedback. That was Mr. Feedback. Go ahead.
Oh.
What was your question?
My question? Who's speaking? Who's talking to me right now?
That's Valley.
How you doing, Valley?
Hi.
Valley.
She sounds like blonde.
And I am blonde. What's your name?
Because she sounds dumb.
Oh.
She's not.
Oh, no, how do you know?
She sounds dumb.
Because it's me. I'm talking.
What?
It was a trick question.
People just,
how do you know?
I got to call up. I.
What's the phone
you
number?
You sound dumb. Okay, bye.
212-209-2900. Would someone dumb be able to quote Hausman on no notice whatsoever? Well, I think not.
He's touched a nerve, please. Don't let them get you riled up. I think Mike said to me one time, he goes, you know, there's not one caller out there that could possibly ever rile me at this point. He goes, I can just sit.
Yeah, this is my domain.
Please.
You know. But the funniest story to me about Mike is the time machine story.
What time machine story?
The time machine story where Mike says, I said, Mike, if you had a time machine, what would you do with it? And you say, I'd put the key in, start the thing up, and push the lever. Would you go back in time or would you go forward? He starts laughing. He says this every time. He goes, I would push the lever forward, right? Go ahead, Mike, say it.
No,
I push the lever forward.
It's your story.
And he
I know
said,
this.
And he goes, and he said, he'd start going, you know, to the future, and he'd just pray that when he stopped, everything would be okay. Because the last thing he'll ever do is pull that lever back in time. Mike's like, no way, I ain't ever going back in time. Not 1 minute back. I'm going forward. And that's a good
attitude.
That's a good, exactly. And that's why I bring it up, because that is what we're talking about, Mike. It's talking about, you know, review your past, but why don't you get in the time machine and start moving forward?
You know,
and,
in Covey's Seven Habits, he had a really interesting anecdote about the importance of moving forward. Mm-hmm. His son played ball as a quarterback for a college team. And so Covey's point was, whenever you make a mistake or have some experience in life, don't dwell on it over and over and think, I screwed up, or what should I have done different, or whatever. He says, analyze it, decide what you would do differently, and move forward. And so he suggested that we have a physical sign almost to snap from that point and move forward. So his son's was, after he finished the play on the field, as he was trotting back to the huddle, he would be reflecting on the play, what he would do differently, what went right, what went wrong. When he got to the huddle, he would snap his wristband, his little terry cloth wristband. That was his physical sign. Flush it, dump it, over, focus on the next play, and move forward.
So basically, it's he's choking on a thing.
I can just see that used in a play where, like,
what?
Character's trying to learn to get over it.
Yeah,
he's so he's got like a big fat rubber band.
Over and over.
He's like in a conversation with somebody, and it's like, every answer she gives.
What was your line? Say it. Chump it.
He'd be snapping
it.
On it.
What was it? What was
he's
it? Chump
like,
it,
try to let it go.
Let it go. Chump it, bump it, and whoop it. Well, what was you saying? What was the thing? What was
that's
the line?
I'm sorry.
You remember what it was?
I don't know why they came to mind. Hello, you're in the air.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening. Who's this?
You just
what's
hung up
name?
On him. Yeah, too bad.
Sorry about that.
Hello, you're on the air.
We lost you.
You got to get up on the night
shift. You got to get up on the night shift. Oh, who's this? Danny?
No.
Mike.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
How you guys doing?
All right.
So we're doing good. How you doing?
What has changed most significantly in your life in the last year, sir?
Oh, my God.
Where do we begin?
Biggest significant change.
No, I just got reunited with a family member.
Really?
Oh, wow.
My long lost brother.
A long lost brother. That's pretty powerful.
Puerto Rico. Can you believe it?
Wow. Now, lost how? Was he like, you know, in a cult?
No. Did you guys?
Was lost in the hurricane, Bermuda Triangle. Came on.
Did
back.
You guys have a different parent?
Yes.
Oh wow.
And what's the name? His friend called my house that I have the same number.
Right.
And I was like, I just fell to the floor. I said, no way.
Whoa.
And we just met, and I was like, oh my God.
Can I ask you how much older or younger? How much difference is there between you guys?
2 years younger than him.
So how much?
2 years, he said.
2 years? Wow.
So like this, about 2 years, 1 month.
Do you feel like after you met one another that even though you were raised apart and you didn't know one another your whole lives, that there were innate similarities in you?
Exactly. No, but the connection was there. I mean,
wow.
He has the same...
You see some of yourself in him.
Exactly.
Mannerisms.
Exactly.
I understand.
I really couldn't believe it.
It's genetic. Yeah.
Congratulations. You
know, and we're going to open up a business in Puerto Rico.
Really?
Yeah, we're going to open up a business.
Good luck.
A little small restaurant.
Good for you.
We're going to have it up here in New York soon.
All right, you should call it Giggle Box.
No, that's great.
Let us know, man. We'll come on down for some of that, whatever you want.
We'll be live at Giggle Box.
Call us and we'll come down and help you cut the ribbon. That's awesome.
It's going to be in Puerto Rico? Leg Giggle Box.
No, it's going to make it in New York, too.
They're going to do it in New York
also. They're going for it.
I appreciate that, guys.
What is your name?
Hello?
Sorry. No, we're here.
Yeah, what was your name?
My name is John.
John. Okay, cool. You keep us posted on that progress. And thanks for calling in.
Well, thank you.
We send our positive vibes to you, John.
Thank you.
Yeah, all right. We can use a lot of positive vibes.
Hello, you're on the air.
This is fun.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, good evening. How's everybody?
Hey, what's going on? What's going on?
Everything's everything.
All right, everybody's good. You know, I did notice something about your show that I feel that is positive.
We give you a forum for your accent.
Uplifted me in ways that you could only imagine.
Okay.
And I'm referring to the fact that you finally, you know, came to your senses and kicked Joe off your show.
Oh, stop. Stop. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey,
hello.
Who's this?
Morning.
Hey, my name is Loki.
Lopi?
Loki.
Oh, Loki.
Oh, Loki. Hi.
Like the god of Loki? Mischief.
Lopi's a good name, too.
Yeah,
either
right.
God of mischief.
How much change do you got in your pocket?
Hey, you know.
Chris just wants to know.
Can I tell you something about Chris, though? Chris
what?
Is spent. No change. You know what I'm saying?
Not you. So Loki, what's up with
you? I'm sorry.
You know what?
I couldn't help it.
No, no. You know, I can listen. You know what? Sometimes, listen. I feel that way. You know, it's real. No, I'm serious. What do you do when you know? Here's an interesting.
When you're spent, no change.
No, seriously. I mean, how often does it happen? I mean, sometimes you know you can come running up and hit that wall. No matter how positive you want to be, you know, things happen to you. I mean, all of a sudden, you know,
but stop viewing it as a wall. It's not a wall.
I know.
So, yeah, pause.
So in every failure, there is always success because even if you fail, you'll find success.
I get so sick of people saying something's not meant to be.
Oh no, it's not meant to be.
It's just not meant to be easy.
No, how about this line now?
No, it's just not meant to be easy.
This is the newest line. It is what it is. What does that mean?
That's not new.
It is what it is. Well, it's new to me.
Okay. It's because you live upstate.
No, I'm all about this line.
It is what it is.
Most things are 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration.
That comes from film critique.
That's it. So, Loki, what's up with you tonight?
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
How is the new
It is what it is.
It is.
Well, that's all anybody ever says to me. I say, well, what do you think? It is what it is, okay? Go ahead.
All right, well, let's take some of these calls. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes. Hey, you forgot about Loki.
Yeah, Loki.
Loki.
Oh, yeah, sorry,
Loki,
man.
How has your life changed? God of mischief.
God of mischief. I wanted to read something on intuition.
Okay.
You're going to read something on intuition. All right. Before you read it, why are you reading it? Something you found fascinating?
I guess it struck a chord. I read it.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
About following your instincts?
Yeah. This is what it says. It says intuition. A super logic that cuts out all routine processes of thought.
A super logic.
The super logic.
Okay.
That cuts out all routine processes of thought and leads straight from problem to answer.
Nice.
That's Albert Einstein.
Very nice.
Nice.
And Einstein knew. I mean, obviously Einstein went into the black void where no one had gone before and had some breakthroughs. And this is cool. I mean, this is one of his techniques.
All right, I do want to tell you a little bit of Life is Like Science Fiction just so we keep it grounded in reality of life. Jumbo Squid warned the waters of BC. Is Doc Hellier is one of your people, Chris. One of your people are calling.
One of my people. Which line is he on? Who's that?
I have no idea.
Wait, don't. You can see two lines, so it would have been the last line you picked up. Right. So don't hang
up. Did you know
on
that
line.
They had jumbo flying squids? Did you know that?
Jumbo shrimp.
Jumbo flying squids. Flying.
Flying.
Jumbo flying squids. Another sign of global climate change. Hello, you're on the air.
Fire Gary Oates, kick his ass out.
What?
I don't think you'll hang up on Doc Hellier.
No, I won't, man. How you doing, man? What are you doing tonight? You're out in Pennsylvania, right? Where are you?
Hanging out.
These are your people?
It's one of my buddies.
One of your people.
How you doing tonight, man?
I thought you were real, sir.
It's
I'm
weird.
Enjoying the show, man.
You liking it?
I think everyone talks out of line, though, man. You guys need like a talking stick.
No, it's talking part of the vibe. Stick. It's part of the vibe. We're
like
a family.
It's a whole vibe, man.
A talking stick.
We're spontaneous. It's like sitting.
Hit him with the talking stick.
It's like you're sitting.
So what happened to you with your life, man?
Yeah, how has your life changed?
Man, I got problems, man.
Talk to me. What's the biggest significant change in your life in the last year?
Well, I got this buddy of mine, right? We're good friends and shit, and
Whoop, don't curse.
Oh,
that's right.
Darn it!
You're not talking to friends. This is broadcast.
Yeah, so
you're talking to New York, man.
Yeah. We're just hanging out. We're trying to make things work with it, you know? Honesty's a tough thing I'm beginning to learn, but I think it's important, you know?
Yeah, honesty is very empowering. I find that that I am so beholden to
the power of honesty.
Honesty, man. Honesty is like the most
important
thing
power of honesty
that I've learned today, and I am so grateful for that, and like you don't have any idea how grateful I am.
Check this out, then.
Yeah, man, it really is, man.
Check this out, both of you guys. What would you say to this question? When is it okay to lie?
That's a very important question.
And
I'm not prepping her for that
said,
one.
Yeah.
When is it important? Okay.
When is it okay?
When
to
is
lie?
The line when it's your business, and then when? When do you think is an important time? Do you think is what about integrity? And I mean, is it okay to lie?
Is it okay?
That's
point,
a good T-shirt.
Is it
what
okay
about
to
integrity?
Lie ever?
Well, actually,
when?
Mike, when is a good time to? I mean, seriously, what would you say? I'm gonna
give you three quick little scenarios.
Okay.
A woman comes out of the dressing room and says, "Does this make my butt look fat?" Number one, hold that thought.
Okay.
Number two, a woman comes out of the dressing room and she's a little chubby. And keep this in mind, she's a little chubby, but she has this dress on. It's pretty tight. And she says to you, "I have to go to a wedding in an hour and this is the only dress in the place that fits me. What do you think? Should I get it?" What do you do?
Right.
And so just on those scenarios right there,
What's the third?
Yeah, what do you say?
What's the third one, though?
The third is, do you think I should stay with him or not regarding a relationship? Or do you think I should stay with her or not regarding someone's in a relationship? Each of those three is a potential hand grenade.
I'll go a step further. What happens if you like somebody, right? And the person you're talking to about it is already been with or with that other person? Okay,
I've been in that situation.
We all have, right? So you say, "Well, I really like her," and then he's like, "So does he tell you, you're my brother?" You know, I mean, what do you do there? Do you lie? Do you say, "That's cool, man," and I gotta get it? You know, what do you do? How do you handle that?
Yes,
yeah, so I didn't understand your question.
Well, let's just say your
scenario. I should say
my scenario is okay. How do we set this up, right? All right.
Did you understand it, Valley? You explain.
Yes. Okay.
It.
All right. How about this? So let's
Valley's clear. Then
let's
did
say
you
that you're sleeping
him
with somebody, right?
Okay.
But I don't know it.
Okay.
And then I have an attraction to that person.
Right.
And
we're all in the same
situation.
Like
right.
Like somehow we're all like working on a project.
Whatever.
Let's just say.
Okay. Right.
And somehow you're Mike the quick. I'm in. Mike's in 24 hours or 46 hours.
What are you talking about?
You're in. You already were with her, or you are with her. You're having an affair with
her.
He's
saying you're sleeping with someone.
Sleeping with her. Yeah.
And he doesn't know it, and he confesses to you, "Hey,
that he likes her.
I think Trish is kind of hot."
Oh.
And you're already sleeping with her.
You're already sleeping with her.
You lie to him.
It's not common knowledge.
And say, and at some point, even if he says to you, "You sleeping with her?" Do you lie? What do you do?
I've been in that situation.
You've been in that situation.
I've been in that
and
situation.
What did you do?
Me too.
I'd have to give you some context to answer
give
that question.
Give me the context. I got to hear this.
No, but
please,
I want
quick,
to.
Quick.
Valley has to answer her own question.
I want to know. Yeah, I want to know
you
on
will,
the guy's
give me context.
When is it okay
so,
to lie? I
want
to know what
tell.
You think.
Well, because I got asked this last week on camera for something, and they said, "When is it okay to lie? Is it okay to lie, and
no.
under what situation?"
Never.
And well, now it check this it. Out. Am I lying though? Chris said no, but I had that situation where the girl came out of the dressing room for me the day before I got asked this question. She was in this dress that was a little too tight for her, just a little bit.
Right.
But when she said, "Should I get the dress?" I said, you look beautiful. And she did. The color was good on her. The color was good on her. She had, yes, it was her color. Gorgeous face, everything, you know.
If she buffed it a little.
No, but that was the only dress that fit her. She had to go to a wedding in an hour. And so I said, you look beautiful. Was that lying?
How revealing, Valley.
Do you think I was lying by saying that?
No.
Of course you were.
No, but when it starts,
you were lying. You thought you were fat.
It depends on what your personal relationship is with the person. What's your scenario, Mike? What's the background? What did you do?
What did I do? Yeah. I mean, but you just are we just giving situations where you lie? Because that's a different question.
When have you lied?
When have you lied? And when did you think it was okay to lie?
I think
let's get some calls.
I think it's better not to lie.
And but I don't think I was lying by saying you look beautiful.
But I don't think in any situation. I think that you know what? It's like, okay, you want to know the truth? You can't like it's that same thing. You can't handle the truth. If you can handle the truth, I'm going to tell you the truth.
What if I say? Does this make my butt?
You know,
fat?
and once you lay some the truth, then it's better to just then you've done it. You know, and when somebody lays the truth on you, man.
But what if it's
can you handle it? You become empowered.
But Chris, what if the truth is subjective because, and it's just your opinion? It's not like someone crossing the finish line in
hey
first
man,
place.
I've had the guy lie to me. I've had the girl lie to me. I've had the lies go into my face that, you know what? I don't even know who the person is anymore. And I don't even know what I have. It's like, what do we have? It's like, well, what are you not lying about? Are you lying about this? You're not
but
lying
you know,
about
this
that.
Is like,
it's like because I just.
All right. Hello.
Let's not go too far off course here.
No, I'm saying is this.
We are talking about significant changes in people's lives. Okay, we stay in focus. Theme, hello, Valley. Okay,
you
calm
want to
yourself.
Start talking about lies,
no, she goes. She Valley has many, many. Her mind works.
I like Val.
Well, we all like Val, but her mind.
Hello.
It races.
Yeah, we know you're here.
Okay.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes. Hello, sir.
How are you? This is Paul.
Paul.
Hey,
how
Paul.
Are you, so?
Yeah.
How's your life changed, Paul?
Well, you know what? I was thinking how my life did not change in a year. That's what I was trying to think. It's remarkable.
Well, are there any significant ways in which it changed, or is it just status quo?
Yeah, it's just, I mean, there was like a couple of like minor little things that happened in this year, but it is remarkable. It seems like the older I get, that the more years I have like that. You know, when
less
I was younger, there were those years that were like,
you need
man,
to hang
my
out
life.
With us.
Exactly. Time is passing you by, sir.
Yes, time is moving, man.
Time is passing you by,
I mean,
sir.
Think of the guy that fell off the roof.
Quick,
said in a
one
second,
quick question,
you know,
sir. Last question. When have you lied and what was going on? And you thought it was okay to lie?
Well, I guess I've lied. Oh, well.
You're lying now.
No, I'm not lying now. Well, I didn't say anything to lie. But, I mean, that kind of, you know, you're talking about, like, lying in relationships. And I guess that's, like, a big thing with me, actually, as I'm sure it is with most of the people in the world. But
hopefully.
You know, like, about, like, whether you lie. Well, do you like that woman? You know? I mean, do you like her or not? You know? And then, and so here's this person that you are committed to. You said you're committed to. Yeah, and somebody comes into your life, and you say, "Do you, you know, like?" And you lie, and you say, "No, she's just a friend, or something like that." And that's
wait,
always been
sir,
a really...
sir, that's such a vague.
No,
what are you admitting to?
He's talking. No, he didn't understand.
No, I didn't understand.
He's been with the woman. Someone else comes in, and this other guy likes her, and he doesn't. Nobody really knows that they're together. And then the guy says, "Hey, I like."
No,
her.
That's not.
No, I think he's saying. No, I think he's saying that the woman is asking him, "Do you like her?" And he says, "No, she's just a friend. It's cool." But he may actually have feelings for her, but he doesn't want to stir things up.
Right?
Is that what you said? You mean you'd be sleeping with this other girl and you didn't tell the other girl you want to sleep with?
You're making that lie to your girlfriend. Like, I didn't set that up properly. I suppose, you know, you're with a wife.
Oh, you mean, and there's somebody else you're interested in, or you're having sex with?
There's somebody else you're interested in. Isn't that the...
Oh, and you lie and say, I'm not interested. That's a very good lie.
Take that down.
That's a good lie.
Take that down a notch, and you're with your girlfriend or you're with your wife, and some gorgeous girl walks in that's a head snapper, and your wife says...
A head snapper.
Do you think she's hot?
Yeah.
Now what do you say?
That depends on your relationship. I don't understand why you can't say
if you have a good relationship, I'm with you.
You know, it's like, so why am I having to go through my whole life lying like that?
Exactly. I don't see why either.
Good.
Yeah, but it's like I can't really see the in the situation. I've never actually been able to say that.
It depends on the insecurity, I think, of the particular woman. If I'm with a guy and a hot woman walks in, or a gorgeous model or a gorgeous woman, and he's... And
you say, go get him, honey.
No, I look too, and I'll say, man, that is a beautiful woman.
No, you do.
Or I'll say, gosh, she's got great legs or whatever, you know? I mean, it's, you know what they say?
That's
just
the healthiest thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to be open and talk about it. That doesn't mean you're going to, you know what they say, you can look at the menu or whatever. That doesn't mean you have to go eat it or whatever that saying is.
Right.
something about you. Eating those gorgeous legs, you know, something like that.
Don't hang up on that.
That was beeping. Oh. He was beeping. Hello, you're in the air.
Or not.
Hello, you're in the air.
Lukey called.
No, Val. You don't look too fat in that dress. You look beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to eat that menu.
I'm going to eat the menu. He says he's going to eat the menu.
Just because you've made your selection doesn't mean you can't look at the menu.
Exactly.
That's the phrase.
That's it.
I know them all. Hello, you're on the air.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. That's right.
It's coming up. Two more days.
Hey.
What?
You're live when you're caught.
You lie when you're caught.
Wouldn't me?
Yeah, where's Elena?
Hey, that's a good line.
She's not here tonight.
Hey, what's your name? That's good. You lie when you're caught.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good tagline for the movie.
No, because you know what I heard?
You lie when you're caught.
Heard someone say all men cheat. Somebody said all men cheat.
The only
men who don't cheat are those who don't have the opportunity. That's what somebody said.
I never heard that part.
That's
like cold as a witch's tit. Whatever your subscription to the station, they should pass out a bottle of Prozac, man.
Mm.
People are wild on this station.
Mm.
All right, I'm out.
You out, man?
All right. Thank you, sir.
Mike, so when is an appropriate scenario to lie? Is there ever a time to lie?
Well,
right?
I mean,
that's something you and I have always experienced.
I think that,
you know,
that
battled with in our lives.
That, you know, I think it is a principle to live to. Mm-hmm. To be honest all the time.
Mm. Like Benjamin Franklin?
Like Benjamin Franklin. But
no, he made the list with 13 virtues.
Okay. All right. I haven't thought about that in a long time, but yes, I remember.
No, and he graphed them out. It's so funny. He's so funny.
Keep going, Micah.
No, all I'm saying is that I think that, you aspire to be honest and as honest as you can be. And as honest, it obviously starts inside. You know, you have to be honest with yourself. And you have to be cool with yourself. I mean, there should be nothing going on in your life that you're ashamed of or have to lie about, you know. And when you talk about lies, is the lie of omission? Do you have to tell everybody your business?
That's what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's better to just not say anything.
Please. That's a whole other, in my opinion, that's a whole other, it's not a gray area to me. That's something very specific. I don't consider it lying if I don't tell this person that I do that just because it would be significant to them, you know.
Or that their butt looks fat.
Whatever, exactly.
Because what is more important, the umpteenth degree of honesty or the relationship and the self-esteem of that person?
But what it really, in my opinion, what it really comes down to for most people is self-preservation. They are protecting, they say other people's feelings. In my opinion, that's rarely the case. It's usually you're protecting your own feelings. Like you don't want to deal with whatever the ramifications are of this truth. That's just my opinion.
All right.
Yeah, so there
right.
it is.
You're absolutely right.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Question about the any major changes in your life over a year, I haven't had any major changes.
You haven't had any?
No, I haven't. I can't say that. But the question about when is it okay to lie, I think it is an individual choice and it's based on the situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So, I don't think anyone should just say, oh, well, it's okay to lie in this situation or okay to lie in that situation. It all depends on what the situation is. And
right.
Maybe kind of going by your intuition, too, like the gentleman that called in and gave us the quote from Einstein about intuition, about, you know, what's the right thing to do in this situation.
Tell us about the 13 virtues. Hello, you're on the air.
I will.
Speak the truth to the masses, no matter how bitter. Trotsky said that.
Thank you.
That's true, though. As far as reporting in the news, that's a whole different thing. But we're kind of, I think, taking this.
We do not live in that age.
Wouldn't you say that we're to some degree talking about personal relationships in context of this question?
Well, it's your question. Aren't you talking about?
Yeah, I think we are. I think we're talking about people we care about.
But I know some people that take ownership. That are so honest that no matter what you ask them, they will. I mean, their integrity, their honest and integrity is so incredible. Like, no matter what you ask them, they will tell you the real deal every time.
My response,
and that is powerful.
But my response,
you say, hey, does you know, what do you think of this tune? What do you think of this cut or this thing or how do I look or whatever it is? And they'll always tell you the truth.
And you are tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York and on the web at WBAI.org. This is Night Shift, a special rebroadcast of some classic Night Shift to hold you over till we're back here and can do a brand new live show for you. But hopefully you're enjoying. Hopefully you're not trying to call because this show is on tape. And we're talking about movies and events and things taking place years ago. But if you like the show and you enjoy Night Shift, you can like us on Facebook, NITESHIFT. That's Night Shift. Like us on Facebook, or you can follow us at NITESHIFTZ. That's on Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter. We don't have an Instagram yet, but eventually we will. And if you weren't listening earlier, we're giving away tickets for The Bye Bye Man, a new horror thriller. Screening is this Wednesday, January 11th at the AMC Empire. Take a listen to this trailer.
You hear the stories every day. Violent crimes. Countless victims. Unthinkable acts. You wonder what could possess a person to do such terrible things. But it's not a matter of what made them do it.
Don't say it. Don't think it.
It's a matter of who.
Something's coming.
What? The Bye Bye Man. He's trying to get inside of me. He makes us do things. The more scared we are, the more powerful he gets.
If you want to go see Bye Bye Man, all you have to do is email me. Put in the heading, Bye Bye Man. And all you have to do is email at WBAI Movie Tix. That's WBAI Movie Tix, T-I-X, okay? At gmail.com. Just put in the heading that you want to see Bye Bye Man. And I will email you a pair of tickets. I only have a limited amount of pairs to give away. Free movie. I will be there myself. So will Joe. And maybe a surprise or two. So, you may find us. I may get up. I may say something. But if you want tickets, free tickets, just because you're a BAI listener, just because you're listening to Night Shift, email WBAIMovieTix, that's T-I-X, at gmail.com. Put in Bye Bye Man. Screening's this Wednesday, January 11th, at 7:30 p.m. at the AMC Empire. And, of course, you got to get there like 6:30. Get a good seat, all that. Anyway. Back to Night Shift.
Don't do it.
That goes for sex, too. You know, whatever. If it can kill you, it's not that much fun.
Don't mess with testosterone. The main thing. Stay away from it.
What if people could buy testosterone? And they found out that...
Hello, they do.
There was a black market, and that if you...
It's called a blue... I will be the wealthiest man in the world.
Shut up. No, but I mean, like, if you took this pill, you would give off this pheromone that would make women, you know, attracted to you.
What do you think about that? You think pheromones,
like, if they
really
had it. I mean, like, I'm sure they have it in the magazines. Eat this, she'll warn you.
No, but it's what a, you know, an accidental prolonged erection. For
no,
four
I
hours.
Don't mean erection. You
no, no,
women
no.
aren't just attracted to an erection.
Pheromones
it's
aren't.
Like, hey, look at a guy.
No, that a towel rack could do the same thing, please.
Yeah, exactly. It's not about the erection. Correct me if I'm wrong, Valley.
It's
like,
not.
You don't run over to a guy if you see him. Okay.
No, I may run the opposite way.
Thank you. Thank you.
I've been in a massage place before, and the guy's giving me a massage, and I could tell that
Stop.
He's totally like wet and in that
really?
Situation and like
so what did
pressing
you do?
Against me while he's going around the table. I'm
oh
like,
that was like some
God.
Barbara I had when
no,
I was
I'm
a
like
kid.
I'm like creeping out.
Yeah, me too.
I'm
I
like,
had that same
dude,
Barbara.
Dude, I'm trying
to relax
same Barbara,
here.
Right?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
But
did
the point is, it's not all about the
erection.
No,
all right.
All right.
I never went again.
So I'm
Chris,
saying,
do you know what pheromones? I mean, the thing Mike's talking about, the pheromones, it's like the sixth sense. It's like the thing that attracts you to someone that you can't really define.
And here's the thing. Here's what would happen. Like, if it became black market and you could buy it, like an ugly guy could get a good looking girl.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And,
like
but he'd
that,
have to keep taking
like
it.
Like that Gwyneth Paltrow
to
movie.
Keep her.
How?
I like it. He's got to keep taking it. And then at some point, whatever, he just falls on bad times. He can't afford it. She's like,
What
was I thinking?
Which is where a lot of women come out anyway. What was I thinking?
You know.
That's what most women think when they don't want to run a relationship anymore. It's like, what was I thinking?
But there is that there is that pheromone thing.
It's for guys too.
It's for everyone.
It's for everyone.
It's like a sixth sense that I liken it. This is
it's
what I say.
It's called being sober in the morning.
No, I say it's like catching the flu. You cannot control it. There's just something
that's
that attracts you to somebody, and it's a sixth sense, and there's something there.
Hello. It doesn't give you a chance to think. That's what drives us to tea.
Stop. Hello, you're in the air.
Yeah, I'm on the air.
Have you ever been on a date, Monroe?
Hey, there you go, Mike.
I'm just asking. I asked Chris. I can ask you.
Listen, you behave, Mike.
All right. Just tell me about
your
worst date.
I don't get to be program director of WBAI.
Don't
Somebody's got to succeed Bernard White. He can't have it all to himself.
Well, why don't you run?
I think that's right. And
you should run as program
me
director.
Doing a show that's
I'll support you. I'll support you. You can run for program director against Bernard. You know?
I don't have to run against him. I just say, what's going on?
Monroe.
You were the great
Monroe.
How's your dad?
My dad is good. Monroe, it's 116.
It's 116. When you were talking education.
I understand.
And what do you do now?
I take calls from crazy people. I don't know what I'm doing.
You talk mind rot.
No, wait, here's my question. Monroe, are you living alone?
why is life like science fiction? It is science, and it is not fiction, it's real. Science
it is science,
real.
And it's real.
What happened to Scotty's ashes?
Understand.
He never got up
in
the
And I'm not going to be... Listen, you had Tony D on. You know who Tony D is? That lovely-sounding woman that was on who loved the guy who said...
Monroe, I have to rein you in. Do you have any kind of dating story you want to tell?
Yeah.
Tell me one,
I'm minding
please.
My own business. Go on and laugh. I'm sitting on this pipe outside.
Wait,
of,
is this how dates start for you? Like they, like you
yeah,
meet
I'm
someone and it, all of a sudden pipe. You're in a date?
Huh?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I want to hear this.
Listen, I went on a date and we went and saw Repulsion. We could have seen Wild in the Street, but I thought, well, Repulsion is a more mature movie. It was such a heavy deal, I'll tell you.
Well, it's not exactly a romantic film that brings somebody on for a date. They probably tell that story as their worst date.
Yeah, well, anyway, I'm warning people about not going to the wrong movie. But listen.
Well, thank you, Monroe.
Yeah, but listen, Mike.
What?
All this talk about testosterone and this and tough guys and men, males, and men. All this is, you know.
Monroe.
Humanity. There's a kind of a spirit amongst good people to try and work with others, to try and be humane, not to call some people beautiful and others ugly.
Monroe, let me just tell you something. When you talk, you've got to have a point. It's better for the listener.
I'm trying to make a very wide point because I find it very painful. You know,
so do we, Monroe. This is painful. This is
but it's the pronunciation of ideas.
Oh my God! What's the phone number here, Melly?
212-209-2900.
What's being spewed on your program, and now you got an extra hour?
Yes, I do.
What did you do? Why 1 hour? Why not two? Tony Short gave you only 1 hour.
You know, Monroe.
Yeah,
you know what Sean Connery would say to you?
Yes, man. You're a stupid man.
You're a stupid man.
I don't care what Sean Connery
yeah, but somehow
say to me.
You've been listening long enough to know. What's the phone number here, Billy?
212-209-2900.
What's amazing is that Monroe actually
yo,
hanging up on us. Yes, hello.
I love Monroe's date.
Of course. Unreal. All right.
Here's a scary date for you, Mike.
Here's a scary date. This is a true story?
This is a very true story.
Okay, I love it.
All right, we're going back to probably the year was probably 1971. And I had a friend that, yeah, you know, for a long time, you know, I really wanted to, you know, well, for lack of better terminology, I wanted to jump this girl's bones for a long time. And, yeah, it's back in the 70s, and we're, like, major getting stoned partners, and we get stoned and hang out all the time and have a great time. So I finally convinced her to go out on a date one night. And we do a bunch of hallucinogenics. And we go to a club. We have a great time. And then we leave the club, and we go to a diner. We stop by a diner on the way home. All right, so we go in the diner. She orders her food. She orders a hamburger. Right? She orders it well done. And I mean, we're both tripping out of our frickin' faces, right? She goes to bite into the hamburger and she sees blood and totally freaks out in the diner, right? Walks up to the diner and hits the girl behind the counter in the face with the hamburger, right? Right, and I got all kinds of contraband on me, so I pull her out of there, go out to the parking lot, jump in my car, start the car, put the car in gear, and the drive shaft falls on the ground, starts making all kinds of noise. Right? So now, here I am with this tripped out date, pockets full of stuff I shouldn't have, and a car with a drive shaft laying on the ground, and the police are on the way.
All right, now this is where we pause. What will happen? Stay tuned. Will the police get this man?
No, this
was
this
the prelude
to
12 years in jail?
Exactly.
Was this the prelude? Stay tuned. Now, for a word from our sponsor.
Mazda.
We need to do some fake commercials, but I'd love to do it.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to. Yes. Okay, go ahead, so.
It's not quite that dramatic at the end. I mean, I run out on the road. I hail the first passing cab. Right?
Oh, that was smart.
Shovel her ass into a cab, and we get the hell out of there.
Smart.
Bottom line is, did I get the boot? No. She was too wasted to do anything else for the rest of the night. You know, and I just remember walking down the street by myself with the sun coming up in my face and my pockets still full of all kinds of happy shit.
At least you did not end up in a cell with Bubba. It could have been worse.
That was the date from hell.
Well,
just thought I had to share that with you.
Thank you. That definitely was not...
Yeah, everything else in comparison, guys, that are listening out there should be a piece of cake.
Yeah, the 70s were fun times. Sometimes. Hey, but you guys keep doing what you're doing, and, you know, despite whatever Monroe says, you know, one of the best shows on BAI. I never miss you guys.
Really?
Well, you know,
how long you been listening?
2 years now.
2 years?
Very nice.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
And if you've been listening 2 years, you know, sometimes it's serious, sometimes it's funny. It's everything. It's life.
You know, Mike just listened to the story, and he asked me what's wrong with me. Mike, I'm from the age of frickin' sex, drugs, rock and roll, and hallucinogenics. You want to know what's wrong with me? Come on here. Why else would I be listening to this station?
Oh, no. Now you made him choke on a grape.
You made me choke.
Don't say that. Hey, give my regards. I know Elaine is not here this week. Hey, mister, but you guys. And what's the young lady's name tonight?
Valley. Or Valerie, depending on when you tuned in and how formal. But, you know, since you called in, we're on a nice and cozy terms here, yeah.
We call her Lady V.
Lady V. I love it.
Lady V.
No, but you know, my really good friends do call me V. so I'm okay with that too.
Hey, well, B, you guys are doing a fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Doing a fantastic show. Hey, would you do me one favor?
What's that?
Send hate mail to John Tesh.
Stop. John Tesh, the musician, former announcer.
Yeah, with his radio show on WJBR, because he's bleeding over onto my BAI reception.
Ah.
And stupid show. I hate his stupid intellect. I hate his stupid music. Right? And I hate him bleeding over on my freaking night shift.
I hear you.
Uh-huh.
You know, use the force.
Yeah, use the force against him. Turn up your transmitter. That would work.
Yeah, exactly. We should turn up the transmitter. Either that or you can take a wire hanger. And stick it on your ear.
Stick it on your ear?
Your ear. Yeah, stick it on your ear.
Yeah.
Exactly. Wrap it with copper wire.
Mm. John Tesh. I got one last thing to say before I hang up.
What's that?
Mike, you listening?
Yeah, I'm listening.
I'll call you back in 5 minutes.
Shut up. Shut up.
It's so true.
Shut up.
John Tesh.
You tuned to Listen to Sponsored Radio.
Night Shift.
WBAI. The name of the show.
Night Shift. Nobody touched nothing.
Mondays. Midnight. Until. It only happens once a week.
Lifetime pass. I'm feeling mighty lonely.
lonesome. I haven't slept a wink. I walked the floor and watched the door, and in between I drink.
I think I might be having some Alzheimer's, or maybe I'm just alone.
Me down, bro.
Who knew? You could win the race if you're the only one running.
I'll never know on Sunday.
You can win the race if you're the only one running.
That's what it says in this article.
Here it is.
She was 73 and came in first, and she was the only one competing.
There it is. Those are the kind of contests you want to be in.
Did you know, Mike, that when we become 62, we can pay $10 and have a lifetime pass?
A lifetime pass to what?
That's what I wanted to know, but all I do
what the hell? A lifetime pass. What does that mean?
I'm going to tell you, Mike.
Pass for whatever, whatever's left.
That song keeps singing. The National Parks, man. You get in a lifetime pass. $10.
Ah, they let old people in the parks for free, huh?
Did you hear about Morgan Freeman?
No, I just heard he had a car accident. I hope he's okay.
Yeah, I hope he's all right, too. I really love Morgan Freeman, and I send out all positive vibes to him to recover well. And the only thing that was a little funny was they had a picture of the woman that he was driving with, and they called her Miss Daisy. It was
stuff. Really
well, that's what they said, and this is Miss Daisy. That's what it said in the article. Miss Daisy.
Stop.
This is who Morgan Freeman drives the car with.
Stop. That's what it said.
Stupid man. It did. I'm not making it up.
You're an idiot.
I'm not making
Morgan
it up.
Morgan Freeman crashes Miss Daisy.
That's what it says. Go to TMZ.com. Right, it'll say Morgan all Freeman, right. And this is Miss Daisy.
Stupid man.
They have a picture of her.
All right, fine. I believe you. Listen, you know what I saw? And I believe it comes out this Friday. Tropic Thunder. Does that come out this Friday?
How was that?
It was amazing.
Really?
Yes, it was.
That's the new Ridley Scott, isn't it?
No. This is the new Ben Stiller.
Oh, that's
Ben
right.
Ben Stiller.
Big difference.
Yeah, it's Ben Stiller, Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, that's the one where Robert Downey Jr.
Yes.
Portrays an African American.
Yes.
Were you offended by that?
Well,
that's
you know
the one that looks like mine.
I was not offended.
Why don't they hire an African American to do it though?
See,
there's so
got,
few roles.
No.
That's the one that looks like Mike.
That's the one everybody says that looks like me. I don't think it looks like me, but do you think this looks like me? Thank you.
No.
Right, thank you. You're
thank
the
you.
Best.
Thank you. You're the best. Okay.
I know Mike's face cold. That does not look like him.
Joe never lies.
Joe is telling me, yeah, more people are calling me. Ian called me and said, all right, anyway, though I do believe certain friends will say that. I'm looking at his eyes and his eyebrows.
Would you love me?
When does it come out? It comes out the 13th, so no, I can't really talk about it yet. But I will talk about it next week.
Yeah, that's the other thing. If you listen to all the back shows, you're always talking about what you're going to talk about next week, and then next week never comes.
And next week comes.
That's
you
that
like, why are you lying?
Hello, you're on the air.
Why are you lying like this?
What's the phone number here, Valley? This is that summer music.
Hello? You know what, Mike?
209?
Yes, hello.
Can you send me a thing?
Yeah, I heard you mention Morgan Freeman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman. He was in an accident.
Yes, he was.
Accident.
Yeah. Car accident. Yes, he was.
And we hope he's okay.
Okay.
Yes, that was it. But ma'am, since you called, what's your name?
L,
could you tell us maybe about the craziest, wackiest, weirdest,
one
maybe
of.
The worst date you've ever been on?
No.
All right, that's fair enough. But you've been on.
How about
a
great one?
How about a great date? Best date?
No.
Why did you change your name?
I beg your pardon?
You could change your name and be anonymous.
Why don't I what?
You could change your name here on the air and be anonymous and then tell us.
Didn't you just ask me my name?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Al. is the word humorless.
Can I be honest with you?
What?
That's an Alzheimer's birth.
Stop. Now you see, you're a stupid.
Come on, that's funny.
It's not funny.
Good, now she'll hear that, and then she'll come back and yell at me. That's what it's like. No.
Where did I find you? Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Is this the radio station?
No.
It is.
It's the pizzeria.
No, we're not going to take your pizza order. I knew you were going to say that.
Yes, it is.
Where the hell did y'all get that lady from?
Stop. Stop. Tell us a bad date, sir.
Huh?
Tell us one of your bad dates.
Or tell us a surprising date.
I'll tell you a joke.
No, I want to...
I'll tell you a joke about a bad date.
A joke about a bad
date. All right. We're good with this.
We're scraping the bottle here now.
All right, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Wait,
is it clean?
I'll make it clean.
All right.
Does it have our 7 FCC violated?
Yeah, it has no curse words in it.
Okay.
All right. There was a guy, he met this girl, you know. It was out shopping in a mall. So the girl, you know, she told him, why don't you come on to my side of the town? And we'll go out for a date. So the guy said, fine, I'll meet you on Sunday. So Sunday came around. The guy goes over there. The girl never told him she was married. So he comes up to the door after walking all the way across town. And he sees the girl. The girl opens the door and says, oh, my God, meet me around the side of the window. Of course, her husband was home. He said, why? She said, I'm sick. He said, oh, I came all the way across town for this date, and you're sick? She said, just meet me around by the side of the house. So he goes around by the side of the house.
Now, he doesn't know that she's married.
He doesn't know she's married.
Okay.
All right, so he's outside the window. She says, listen, we have to do it another day because I'm sick. So the guy's like, oh, man, I walked all the way across town. At least you could give me a kiss. She says, listen, I'm sick. So he's like, come on, baby, just give me a kiss. So just as he goes to get a kiss from her, her husband comes in the room and she turns around. Now her butt is facing the window. And he goes up and he kisses her butt. And he says, oh, baby, you must be sick because your jaws are all swollen and your breath smell like... You get it?
Unfortunately, I do get that.
I had to hold off on the last word, but forget it, man.
I understand. I did get it.
All right.
You know. Thank you.
All right, later.
All right. Well, I really thought he was going to say something else like, well, if you had a car... I'm sorry.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Valerie. Have you ever had a guy lick?
Thank you for being quick on that. I'm sure he was just going to ask me about ice cream.
Ask that guy if he could choke on an ice cube.
Hello?
Yes?
Hey, Val. How you doing?
Hey, what's up?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a matter of opinion.
Yes.
I personally think the new guy that got playing James Bond is like the ugliest character on Earth and does nothing to portray the image of James Bond as created by Sean Connery.
That would be like a sexy, mysterious...
He's none of those things. He's just ugly and weird looking. Right? I mean, I think, you know, if you want an action hero, hell, Jason Statham would have been a much better Bond than this guy. That's just my opinion, you know what I mean? Well, from the female perspective, what do you think of this new Bond characterization?
Oh, that's a hard question to ask me. Well, I'm going to tell you straight. One of my friends, Clive Robertson, I think would have been amazing, and he was in discussions with him before that. He was one of the top soap stars, and he has that look, you know, the dark, slender, more Bondish look that you would think
right.
of. And so I was predisposed not to like this guy. And I don't find him personally attractive myself, like if I just saw him. But I think what he did was he earned our respect on the screen for the role because he did so many of his own stunts, because he threw himself into it, because he really executed with believability. So you were able to follow him. I mean, the stunts were amazing. You know, there were no edits in some of those stunts, and he did them himself. So he actually begrudgingly earned my respect. But just so far as if I were at a party and I were single and I were looking and he caught my eye across the room, no.
You'd probably run.
He just doesn't exude that pheromone thing that we were discussing.
Right.
For me personally, I wouldn't just go.
You'd
oh.
rather slip into dementia.
he's probably the least popular on to come down the road.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that at all.
I still think Jason Statham would have been a much better Bond, you know, in light of doing his own stunts and having more personality or more presence on the screen. And as you know, if you're into action characters, I think Jason Statham has done a better job. Why in the hell did they get rid of Pierce Brosnan anyway?
He's too old.
Too old.
There's no
yeah,
too. I don't think he was too old.
Was
I think
too old.
I think Pierce Brosnan.
Roger Moore was too old.
No, I think Pierce Brosnan is hot. I mean, have you seen him in the Thomas Crown Affair? That man is hot. He has a certain.
That was 8 years ago.
I know, but he has a very sophisticated.
Hey, listen,
I like Pierce Brosnan. Don't get me
Monroe
wrong.
Monroe would have been a better job
too old.
On than this guy. Monroe could have done a better job than the guy they got doing it. Yeah, Monroe would have been fucked.
I don't know, you know, maybe they were trying to be atypical because maybe there was such a following for the previous look of Bond that maybe they deliberately went another direction. I don't know,
right.
but for me...
Equality, equal rights for ugly people.
Stop. Let me just say this.
You know, he had made that film. Let me just interrupt this.
Daniel
he made a film called Layer Cake in 2004, and he kind of was doing like a James Bond thing in that. So I think if they looked at that and they were like, well, you know, worst case scenario, let's just see, you know, we know that he can pull that off. So I think it was also a decision, you know, because it's a big budget and everything else.
Okay.
You're taking a chance with somebody that you're trying to. So.
Well, I interviewed them about it.
Right.
And
well,
I think.
Then that squashes my opinion.
Well, no. I'm just going to tell you what they said and what my opinion is. I mean. I believe them. They said that, you know, what they wanted to do was cast somebody who you believe could do the things that James Bond has to do. And Daniel Craig, physically, even if you don't think his face is as handsome or as pretty boy as some of the other Bonds have been, you definitely believe Daniel Craig could take a punch and give a punch. And even if it wasn't him in those scenes when he has to do the stunts, he looks believable doing it. He's got a build. He's got a look to him. He's rugged. Now, hold on. And if you look at the script, how they wrote him and what they describe him as, this blunt instrument, the concept they're going for is that he was rough around the edges. He's more of a, you know, someone who has to be honed. We're seeing the origin of Bond, how he went from this scruffy, you know, in your words, ugly, fugly man to like this debonair, you know. Here's the other thing that a good actor can do. Hold on a second. Another thing that a good actor can do, and any person who really has good command of whatever they got going, let's use Sarah Jessica Parker. You know, they use what they've got, you know, and he works what he's got. And he does. He's in terrific shape. He's a great actor. He's you know, he's good. And you believe him. So,
okay.
There. No, that being said, I think that's why they chose him and that's why they went in this direction with Bond.
So what you're saying is that...
Though, wait. Though I do say, I mean, they pick him now. He's like 40 and he just turned 40. This guy's going to crag out in like 3 years. He's going to crag right out. I mean... His youth is part of what makes him, you know, to me, like, all right, I want Bond to be a handsome man. He's going to crack out. I'm just all I want to say.
Yeah, but he doesn't even look young.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He looks on that edge of crag. He's on the edge of crag.
Right. Analogy is we're not getting whipped by the technology.
And I predict. Listen to me. After he successfully starts to crag out, I predict the tabloids will call him Daniel Craig. That's my prediction.
Nice.
That's my prediction.
That's good.
Remember, I said it here. You heard it here.
Way to go, Mike.
There it is.
Good, Mike.
All right, guys.
All right.
Fun. I got you.
He does have a point, though.
All right, Valley, you have a story for us? Valley, wait, now hold on. Before you give us some of the story, I want to hear what some of your bad days. Because you've had. You know, come on. I mean,
oh,
come
she's
on.
Bad. She's the queen of bad days.
Yes, she's probably. You know, come on. You could have a
That
broad.
Is not true. I no. am not
oh,
the
you,
queen of bad days.
On.
I can have fun anywhere. I mean, I could get broken down in a car and we could still laugh about it if we.
I think you definitely Charlie Brown somebody.
Look at me.
I think you definitely Charlie Browned somebody. Somebody showed up and you just Charlie Browned them. Poor guy.
Wow.
He was.
What? What is that?
I don't know.
They got their own thing going on, everybody. We're just.
She's having a reaction to something.
A spider.
Hope not.
She's paying no attention to what I'm saying.
No, we're listening to you, Chris. We're in rapid.
Oh, I think, have you ever Charlie Browned somebody as well?
Does that mean just totally stood them up?
No, well, you know, you
held the football and then pulled it away.
Yeah, you Charlie Browned them. Like,
I don't think so. Think
the worst time you can do it to somebody is on Valentine's Day. That's like the worst one ever.
No, because, you know, most of the time if I go out with someone, I'm already friends with them, unless it's a blind date. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think if I've ever gone out on a blind date with someone.
You do not have to qualify. You do not have to answer his question.
I want
to hear your one of it. Give me. I want three throughout the show. So give me the first one.
I'll give you the good, the bad, and I'll give you some bad ones and some great ones.
Okay, I
trust me. My great ones are great.
Okay.
Good stuff. Okay, this is a no-brainer. I mean, this is obvious. I feel ridiculous even saying it, but I'm going out with this guy that I think is going to be amazing. We're supposed to go out to dinner.
When was this, last week?
In college.
Oh.
So I don't know him that well, but we're going to go out to dinner, and then we're going to go catch a flick. So he picks me up. We don't go out to dinner, and I'm starving, so that's bad on him already. Not that I'm expecting him to feed me. I would feed myself. I'll pay my own bill, but if we're supposed to eat, I want to eat. I'm not one of those little pee pushers. I actually want food, so I'll have real energy. So anyway, so that's it. And then he takes me to like a theater, and I don't really notice what we're going in to see. And I sit down, and all of a sudden there's two girls going at it. And we should have had this discussion before I got in the theater. That's what I think. So
you went on
not,
a Travis Bickle date.
I don't know, but there was not a second date.
Wow. The Travis Bickle, that's Taxi Driver.
Oh, and then to top it all off, third strike, you're out on the way home. He has the audacity to pull over somewhere to park to try to make out with me, as if I would even kiss his creepy lips after that little stunt he pulled. I mean, we should, and I'm real blunt. Like, if I'm out on a date with someone and I feel like they're kind of encroaching in my space a little bit and I'm not ready for it, I'll say, kiddingly, you weren't thinking we were going to make out right now or anything, were you? Because we haven't even done lunch yet. You know, I'll just keep it light or whatever. But some guys, even on the dance floor.
You don't say, just back off, chump.
No, because some guys, even on the dance floor, ladies, back me up on this. They will just come up behind you and start, like, bumping and grinding on you without you even making eye contact or anything.
There's no such thing as music. Music is a lie.
It's just way to hear a real fast goodbye. So
I can't imagine any scenario where that's like, hey, wow, smooth move.
I can't imagine either.
Rubbed your Johnson on her.
Yeah. No, the best policy is always talking and humor.
Humor.
Because you get a girl laughing and you connect with her and there's something in common and you have a chance for furthering the connection. But just being grabby or presumptive or whatever, it's not okay with me. Maybe some girls would just go along with it, but
come on, that's like who's the girl that when the
construction
workers whistle, they go, oh, thank you. I mean, who's that girl? I don't think she exists.
Val, do you prefer guys that you can almost wear their clothes?
Almost wear their clothes. Explain.
You mean
that
like
one.
Wake up in their shirt in the morning?
No, just.
I know he didn't.
Would you prefer to date guys that you can almost wear their clothes? I'm just curious.
Do you understand the?
I don't know what that means. It's metaphorical, I'm sure, but.
Well, no, I understand the concept of that.
You mean a small man?
No, not a small man. Well, not a small man, but in shape person. An in-shape guy, like really in shape, but you can almost wear his clothes.
How could you almost wear his clothes? He'd have to be a little
man. I don't know, but the main thing for me if I'm dating someone is I want to have some real synergy. I want us to both have similar energies. You know, what a drag if you get with someone. I'll tell you this. Some guys have thought before when they've hung out with me a little bit, oh, cool. But, it'd be great. It'd be great if we were together, like for a longer hang, like permanently even.
But I would just be so frustrating for some people. You know it, Mike. Because if you get with someone that has a real low energy level and maybe they just want to chill on the sofa all the time and they just have a real low energy level and they're with someone else that would like to go hiking or would like, you know, just that alone, that small thing alone could cause unnecessary friction. I'm not saying you should bail just because of that, but I will say the more things you have in common, including energy level and eating, if one of you is vegan and one of you is a carnivore, you know, whatever it is, the more you can have in common, the more you can start out with, I think the more likely that you're going to push each other in good directions and you're going to have good energy between you.
And avoid dementia.
Well, you were going to say something. I saw the look on your eyes. You were going to say something and you self-edited, which is unlike you.
Oh, that's funny.
There's so much I could say.
You just were like ready to just explode.
Hello, you're on the air. That's it. This is another show. Hello, you're in the air. Yes, hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Hi.
You have a really bad thing?
My radio.
Okay.
I've got two crazy date stories. One.
Okay.
One good, one bad, but the bad one's kind of funny.
Okay.
I'll tell you the bad one first. What reminded me of it was your other caller who grew up during the age of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This was my first year in college, and I was up all night long, for 2 days, you know, with some chemical assistance, and writing a paper. So I finished my paper. I thought I did a tremendous job on it, and I was walking home, and I ran into this girl that I've been dating a few times, and she said, "Well, you know, I'm tonight. A bunch of my friends are going to get together and go to a drive-in movie with one of my girlfriends, with all of her old high school friends." And I went to a rural college, and this place was about 40 miles away, out in the middle of nowhere, in a little small country town. And I went out there with her and her girlfriend and a bunch of guys and girls that they all knew from high school. Went to the drive-in movie, and it was going to be one of these all-night horror film, you know, marathon.
Like Dawn of the Living Dead and whatever, yeah?
That kind of thing, right. And so we had a bunch of beer and marijuana and there were about, you know, three or four cars lined up, and I was feeling great. But you have to remember, I had been up for like 48 hours, and it was the first time I'd, you know, ever done anything like that. So I really didn't realize, you know, that there was going to be a hard crash at the end of it. So we went to the drive-in movie, and it was about 8 o'clock in the evening, and I went into the little concession stand to get some popcorn and candy and stuff like that. While I was standing in line, I just all the energy went out of my body, and in about a period of about 30 seconds, I became horribly sick, and I went into the bathroom, and I ended up throwing up, and I just felt terrible. I went back to the car, and I said, "Carolyn, I'm sorry, but I'm just really sick." And she was pretty cool about it. She said, "Well, just kind of sit back and see if you feel better." And I didn't. I just kept feeling worse and worse and worse. I said, "Look, I'm sorry, but I'm really sick." So she said, "Okay, this is what we'll do. We'll take you back to my girlfriend's house and make a bed on the living room couch, and you can basically sleep it off. I'll go back to the drive-in, and we'll pick you up in the morning, and then we'll drive back to college." And I said, "Okay, thanks. I'm so sorry." You know?
Well, this is sounding like a bad day for her.
You know, well, anyway. So they take me to the parents' house, and it, you got to remember, this is a rural community, so this is a house like out in the middle of nowhere. And the parents were already in bed, and so we just quietly go into the house, into this stranger's house. I had never been there before, and they made a little bed for me on the couch in the living room. And I, my head was whirling. I just felt terrible. You know, just lay here, you know, sleep it off. We'll pick you up in the morning. We'll go back to school. Just, you know, go to the doctor. And,
pick you up in the morning. Where were they going now?
They went back to the all-night drive-in movie. You follow me so far?
I follow you. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, all right. All right, so I lay down on the couch, and I immediately go to sleep. So then about 2 or 3 hours later, I don't really know how long, I wake up, it's pitch black, still deathly ill, and I have totally soiled myself.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Because
I was so sick. So here I am, it's pitch black, and I'm in this stranger's house.
Have you been sober ever since?
No, but I'm not done yet. It gets worse. So I get up and I'm groping through this pitch black. Remember, this is out in the country. There's no street lights or anything. I'm groping around trying to find the bathroom.
I walk into
the parents' bedroom.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
That's the worst one we've heard tonight.
Oh my God.
Father bolts straight up. He goes, I go, oh, sir, you know. I'm so sorry. I've soiled my pants. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, sir. It's like a stranger came to soil his pants in your house.
I came deathly sick, and I completely soiled myself. But you know, I used the real word. You know, so the guy's really kind of angry. You know, he's angry, but he reins it in. He's really cool. He gives me some of his own underwear, takes me into the bathroom, and I clean up and everything. I go back, I lay down, go back to sleep, and I wake up a couple hours later, and it's happened again.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What kind of drugs are you doing? That's not marijuana.
X-Lex is not a recreational drug.
Exactly. What the hell are you doing?
I hope you were very young at the time, sir. Oh, I was. So then I knew the layout of the house. Or, you know, so I creep back into the bathroom, you know, to clean up again. Now, of all occupations, this guy ran a little grocery store.
Okay.
Like he has to get up in the morning, like 4 o'clock in the morning, to go get the to go get the deliveries and everything.
So I'm in there being
as quiet as I can, right? So the door opens and it's the father, and I'm in there again. Oh. I go, oh my, I'm sorry, it happened again.
Oh my God.
So anyway,
oh my God. And at that point, you started to shrink.
Oh,
and you became an inch high and ran out of the band's house.
Pretty much. Okay. But so anyway, that's the story. We ended up all having a pretty good laugh about it.
I hear you. Did he hose you off in the backyard or something?
It was the date from L.
Wow. I think that girl and her parents tell this story. They're like, I don't want the worst thing ever.
They're on hold to tell it right now.
Exactly. Who was that guy? He came and he crapped in our couch. He crapped in my
underwear
twice. All right, well, there it is.
Tried to crawl into bed with your mother?
I understand.
Really? Anyway, I thought you'd get a kick out of that one.
That's a pretty amazing story. What's your name?
Are you there?
Yeah, and what's your name?
Jack from Brooklyn.
Well, Jack, now how long you been listening to the show, Jack?
Oh my God, since like 1980 or something like that.
1980? You've been listening all this time?
1980? Oh,
yeah. You're listening before we were on.
I'm hardcore.
No, I mean, you've been listening to BAI since 1980. I'm talking about this show, Night Shift. How long have you been listening to Night Shift?
Oh, to your show?
Yeah.
Oh, only Only when I'm up this late. I usually am not up this late. I fell asleep. I've got BAI kind of running in the background all the time. So if I'm
understand.
Up at this hour, I'm with you guys.
I feel you. All right. Well,
okay.
I thank you for that story.
Hey, okay. Thanks a lot. Love your show.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, there it is.
A satisfied customer.
It definitely sounds like something out of like a Adam Sandler. Or
my date
Seth Rogen.
Sounds
okay,
like
yes.
The prom in comparison to his.
Exactly.
That was a bad deal.
He was the bad deal actually on that date. I have to say, like he was really like, you know, my daughter brought home this guy. I'd be like, damn, you know, honey. Me help you.
Yeah, we forgot to say. Did you guys get married and everything was
exactly
no,
right.
Father yeah. The first
and
thing
we got
the
three
next
kids
morning.
Now, right? You know. And they still make fun of me for that. Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Mike.
Yes.
DJ.
My goodness.
Well, my story can't rival Jack's, but
that's all a right. Good thing. Actually,
you have a date story. Okay, I'd like to hear you, DJ, on a date.
Okay, well, we had this friend that we called the inspector after Inspector Clouseau.
Okay.
And one time he invited me out, and we were going to see a group called 10 Wheel Drive with Genya Raven. Did you ever hear of them?
No, but go ahead.
But they're really good.
Okay.
So we come out of the place, we're hopping and bopping to the music, and we go to his car, and the car won't go. It just won't go. So we wind up having to call my mother, and my mother come into Manhattan to get us little kittles, you know.
Okay, well, you know, okay, I'm definitely, that's not a good date. It's not a good date.
No, it definitely makes the good night kiss a little awkward when
yes.
Mom's supervising.
Yes, kind of humiliating.
Kind of humiliating, yes. Well, at least he didn't crap on the couch. That's the way you can look. One way to look at it.
That's now our barometer of whether
exactly,
it was the suckiest date ever. Did he crap on the couch? Well, no. At least he didn't crap on the couch twice.
Exactly twice in your father's underwear.
I think you might want to look into the group though, if there's still music of theirs available.
All right, I will write that down.
10 Wheel Drive.
Chris, are you writing that down?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Email me. 11 Wheel Drive.
Yeah, I've been listening since Chris was first on.
Since back when Chris first started.
Really?
And you guys used to send tapes to Howard Stern.
Yeah, you remember that?
I remember that.
Wow.
Where
yeah,
the hell
never
are
sent
these
tapes.
Guys?
Well, listeners sent tapes. We never sent the tapes.
Yeah,
what's that?
Never did that, somebody. We never found out who.
Oh, no. Well, then somebody did, yeah.
Look at this, you know, they got a dancing robot on TV, and it's for deodorant. And I was just reading there's in Variety, they're talking about all these robot-themed pictures coming out. After the success of Transformers, they're making Voltron, Robotech, like every robot thing you could possibly imagine.
Astro Boy.
And you have to think about, yeah, we just did have, you know, Wall-E, Iron Man, you know. There's been a lot of robots happening, Transformers. So, and they said people have come to accept robots as just part of everyday life. And in Japan, it's insane what they're doing with robots. Like, insane. For everything you could think of. To play
for entertainment,
with, for entertainment, for doing things, for sex, for helping autistic children. Now, you've got a story there. Talk about the granny skeletal, exoskeletal granny story. Speaking
bizarre.
Of which...
Who did you whack?
Exactly.
Yep, you're right. It's the exoskeletal granny contraption.
Okay, talk to me.
Finding ways to assist and care for the growing elderly population in many countries is a growing problem. One challenge is to work out how to improve the strength of aging limbs. So, Yoshiyuki Sankai at the University of somewhere that I how would you say this? T-S-U-K-U-B-A. I think it would be Tsukuba. Because I have
yes.
A friend named Peter Tsai, and his is T-S also.
And the T is silence, yes.
Yeah, and the T is silent.
Yes.
So at the University of Tsukuba, shout out to my peeps in Tsukuba, near Tokyo, has developed an exoskeleton for a single arm that can do just that. It's this little, you saw the picture, it's like this little vest, almost like a bulletproof looking vest that goes over the chest and the back of a person. And this is so cool. It senses the angle, torque, and nerve impulses in the arm and then assists the user.
We need to get the music off the stations. That's what we need to do.
To move his or her shoulder and elbow joints. And it's kind of like an assist, I guess. Like if you're weightlifting, it kind of intuitively senses what you want to do and that just helps kind of give you a boost so you don't totally lapse into immobility if you can't do it all yourself, which is really ingenious.
It is. The whole thing is ingenious. But of course, I can picture a whole little, like the supervillain who's been kept alive, and he's got the exoskeletal thing.
Of course.
And he's, you know, attacking. No, Mr. Bond. You know, he's like, whatever. You can't see it, Chris?
It could even be used for therapy when someone gets in a car crash or something or whatever it
Very
is,
true.
just till they, get recuperated and then hopefully they can shed the exoskeletal super cape and, do things on their own. But that could really be the bridge that helps people get from inability to building up their strength.
No, I agree 100%. I think it's pretty fantastic.
Either that or get a hot trainer.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the hot trainer wouldn't hurt. You know, get the hot trainer, too.
You're very motivational.
It's like science fiction.
You're listening to an extended one-hour version tonight.
That's right. This is... normally, you'd be hearing Tony Short.
The great Tony Short. I just can't say enough about how great her show is. She's just amazing.
Is it person to person?
Yes, it is
person to person. Well, person to person, we'll be back next week. Tonight, you're getting an extended night shift. Yes, I'm going to be going into some DVD review soon. Chris, you know what's coming out in like November? On Blu-ray?
What's coming out?
The entire Planet of the Apes on Blu-ray.
Oh,
I'm so ready.
Oh.
I'll send you, I have the artwork. I saw the artwork. Like, that's how much of a fanatic I am. I'm like, ooh, look at the box art.
You're already buzzing about
I'm totally
the box.
Buzzing about the box art. Yep. And it comes with like a booklet, you know, like a thick hardcover booklet.
Nah, with all, another, yes,
but yes, will they give you a ring? Will they give you anything really cool?
They really blew themselves out at the last one. They had the giant Cornelius head. You could get like a little Cornelius bust
nice.
With your DVDs inside, which I didn't get, but I did want to have it, you know.
Of course, Alien hasn't gone to Blu-ray yet, has it?
No, Alien versus Predator is on Blu-ray. I think Alien is on Blu-ray. Well, you know what just came out on Blu-ray? Speaking of Blu-ray, they put out the entire, I want to say, Jack Ryan collection with Hunt for Red October, Patriot right. Games, Clear and Present Danger, and The Sum of All Fears. I mean, they're all good movies.
I have something to tell you.
What's that? What?
I met the man that all those are patterned at. All the true stories.
Oh, you told me you met that guy. Right.
I did. And you know what?
What?
He is about, I'm going to say 5'9", very plain looking, unassuming, maybe 5'10". But if you see him, you would think he's just the most mild-mannered little accountant guy or something. And
really?
He has more decorations and more awards from our government for service that people don't even know he's performed than any other human being.
Wow, that's impressive.
And he's so mild-mannered, and he's like so humble, and it's true.
That's kind of cool. Wait, I got to say this, though, about the Blu-ray, because I'm such a fan of Hunt for Red October, and if you see this on Blu-ray, I don't know if you remember that opening shot where you see
the sub going down,
and it opens up on, like, Sean Connery's, like, eyes. Mm-hmm. Close up on the screen, and I remember reading this review at the time, and it says they were giving the review of the opening of the film, and he says it's great, and it opens with a close up of Sean Connery's magnificently grizzled face. That's how they described it, man. I thought that was apropos, but it's just a great movie, and it looks fantastic on Blu-ray.
I can imagine I've seen it 100 times.
I've seen it 100 times too. It's a great movie.
Yeah, so here's an interesting question.
What's that?
Who do you think? Was a better Jack Ryan?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think Alec Baldwin really missed the boat. I think that was like, you know, things that, you know, defining moments, turning points. I think he should have definitely continued. But I will say this. What?
I think Harrison Ford was really good.
No, well, exactly. I think Harrison Ford is great, and I didn't think it was that much of a stretch for him,
right?
Especially at the time, because there was a time, and it's funny. I was just recently watching. I watched Witness, and then I watched The Fugitive. Both great, great, great films.
I can watch them over and over.
They're great films, and there was a time where Harrison Ford made nothing but hits. Hit after hit after. Right. There was a good solid 20 years. You know? Everything was a hit.
Yep.
And it was only really after, I think, him and what's her name broke up, Melissa Matheson broke up, and he started doing all these sad movies, you know, where, you know, he's losing his memory. And
but the last Indiana Jones wasn't sad. It just sucked.
No, well, no, I like the last Indiana Jones. That was, at least Harrison Ford
I thought it was gratuitous
fun.
Special effects. Just kind of, oh, this would be cool, this would be cool, this would be cool.
You
and just
like
kind
it.
Of lining them all up.
I
felt like the plot could have used a real kick.
You know, in The Hunt for Red October, I think it was something about his acting in that was so brilliant. You got into his head along with his thinking to try to figure it all out. And I just felt that, yeah, I think he did miss the boat on that by not, you know, continuing.
No, I definitely think he missed the boat. I think he was good. I think he gave I think he was the most interesting. Probably would have been the best choice if he continued making them. The Patriot Games, though, and Clear and Present Danger are both very solid movies. And Harrison Ford's very solid. They're both very good. They don't have Sean Connery in them. Okay, I'll admit that. But and I'll also say Some of All Fears. You know, Some of All Fears was a pretty good movie too. You know, Ben Affleck just, you know, to me, he may suffer from, you know, the. I'm forgetting the actor who did like a bazillion movies. British actor
Buddy?
Alfie. He redid Alfie. Who am I thinking?
Yeah, he was in AI.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Help me, Valley.
Too.
Valley, help me.
I'm trying to think of it. Help pretend me. We don't care.
All right. Anyway, point is, he's another actor who I really like. I loved him in supporting roles. I thought he was brilliant in Gattaca, but then you put him in the lead, and he's just. You know, like, I really liked Ben Affleck in Shakespeare in Love. I thought it was
but
really good.
But sometimes it's so much,
it really
as
good.
You know, the director. It's so frustrating.
Well, Ben Affleck made a bunch of movies that were just, like, you know, he was like the dim bulb. But I just think he just didn't challenge himself. But I
Jude
thought
Law.
Some of All Fears
Jude
was
Law.
Pretty good. Jude Law, right, yeah. Jude Law, what I call the Jude Law effect. Jude Law, great looking guy.
I really
loved
Jude Law in Road to Perdition.
Right, he was great in Road to Perdition. Everything, whenever he's a supporting actor, he's great. So, there it is. I say, get it. The other thing that's interesting in Blu-ray, which is kind of amazing, and I had to say something else about Blu-ray. When you watch certain movies in Blu-ray, it's so sharp, it's better than it was when you saw it in the movie, because you're seeing more detail than you could ever
right,
see.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
That is amazing.
It is. And so Beowulf is now, the director's cut is on Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing just to watch that film.
Mm.
Even if you didn't enjoy it, in which I think it's more like Conan than anything I've actually seen. What do you think? Do you think, like, if all the Star Trek guys were still alive, they could start doing, like, super realistic animation and do Star Trek and just have new movies, new adventures, but it's all just, you know, like Final Fantasy type animation?
With the same, with the you,
same cast.
Doing
making
that with
look,
the characters?
Yeah.
I love Star Trek, so I would probably
see it, of course.
But I think that anything I love Star Trek. I mean, I just, you know.
So you'll just see, so you're ready to go see this one this fall?
Yeah, I'm hoping, you know, I thought Dark Knight was brilliant. I hope that, you know, that the reinventing of all these, you know, films that have come before is working. So,
did you see Shine a Light?
No.
It's on Blu-ray.
Mm.
On Blu-ray.
But I do think The Earth Stood Still, I saw the trailer, doesn't look good.
What?
The Day the Earth Stood Still, I saw a trailer for it, and I don't know.
Day the Earth Stood Still, I don't know, I like Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah, no, she looks good in it, but
Keanu
I don't know.
Keanu Reeves, though.
Keanu Reeves.
You know, he has not picked one good science fiction film since The Matrix.
Right.
He's done like six of them. What do you think? Well,
I don't know.
He has a lot to live up to.
Yeah, sort of like Mark Hamill. It's like, you made that choice and then that choice.
Mark. Yeah. Like, wow, is that the same brain?
Like, was it a fluke?
You know what I watched the other day?
What?
I forgot how much I just loved it because I haven't seen it in years, but The Pope of Greenwich Village.
You know, I've never seen that film, but I have a friend who has written the official sequel that they're making with Mickey Rourke and... What's his name?
Roberts. Roberts.
Eric Roberts. They're raising the money.
You need
now.
To see that. I mean, I hope that
I've never seen
you
it.
Need to see the film again because it
I've never
filmed,
seen it to begin with.
It was filmed at Castle Hill and White Plains Road in Castle Hill, which is where I grew up, and the pizzeria where we used to go eat at. So it was like right. It's like right in my. It was shot in my neighborhood. And it's, you know, the director that did, you know, Cool Hand Luke and so forth. And it's just, I thought all his casting in that film was just so on the money and led to a lot of great careers for all those guys. You know, and you had Geraldine Page in there and Kenneth MacMillan and, you know, obviously Mickey Rourke and Eric Roberts. But I just watched it the other night and I just was just how much I loved it.
Okay. No, I haven't seen it.
You have to see it. He's, you know, the end of the film, he's good. Like, I am the Pope of Greenwich Village right now, man. You have to see the scene. It's just, like, matter of fact, it was on twice. I watched it twice. I'm a freak.
Chris,
you gotta get a life. Help me.
You are.
No, because sometimes you get a lot more out of it the second time. I had a professor.
I've seen it a million times.
I had a professor one time that said, whenever you have some type of entertainment thing, watch it one time and don't think. Just savor it, enjoy it, almost like warm bath water just washing over you. Then the second
almost
time, start to analyze
warm
it.
Bath water.
Yeah, just
go
with
your
it.
Quote. A date with you is like warm bath.
No, but you know, and then the second time you think about it more and you maybe get more into it and, you know, for
like
us,
Val and I had a bad date. We didn't even have a date. But we were walking down. You know, what was that road? What was that street we were walking down? When I was walking you home. No, just kidding.
We've never had a bad date. All the dates with you have been great.
What was that brownstone you were living in? What was that? That was like.
Hello, you're on the air.
Charlie, they took my thumb. See, Mike, you don't know what that means.
No, it's you and Jeff.
You know who was
hello
in it?
In the
the guy used to play Toma.
Hello.
Hello,
I'm calling from New England.
You're calling from New England. How are you?
How nice.
My name is Bobby.
Bobby.
Okay.
Tony Short gave you a
hard
time
about where are you calling
in
from?
New England, didn't she?
Oh, New London.
New London, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I wanted to know if Valerie had her pussy licked really smooth.
And good night.
Luckily,
thank
I had
you.
My finger in the dump button.
Good job.
There it is. All right, but
everybody missed that. But
a couple of movies that are coming out that I would recommend. First of all, I want to say, "Mummy: Tomb of the Dragon Emperor." I saw the movie. I saw it in 3D. I never really got Brandon Fraser. I never really got the whole charm of Brandon Fraser. I
think
felt
you have
like
to be a 16-year-old girl.
I don't know. And I give him credit. He looks good. At George's Jungle, same thing. I don't get
my
that.
My sister said that's her favorite movie ever. She bought it, watched it 500 times just because she thinks
understand.
He's
we were amazed at how good he looked.
He looks great. He looks great right now. I have to say he has a son, and he doesn't look like he's the father of the son. He looks like he and the son could be less than 10 years apart. So, but that being said, you know, Brandon Fraser has kept himself looking good for Brandon Fraser, but I just don't get it. He has this thing that he does, and that's what he does. He plays like this slightly doofy thing, and, you know, it doesn't seem like acting to me. And I did like him in those two films that he did. I liked him in Gods and Monsters, and I liked him in that Michael Caine film with the great score.
Right. We never thought he
so,
would have a career.
That being said, Mummy 2 and Dragon Emperor, it's fun. It's got tons of special effects. It's got karate. It's got, you know, I don't know if there are actually any mummies in it, okay? But it is what it is.
Oversight.
It is what it is. Is it kind of watered down Spielberg? Maybe. Okay, but so I never got it the first two. I saw them. I was like, whatever.
I know, man.
There's a movie
I agree.
Out now. There's another movie out that's very good. I recommend called 66. I recommended it. I read some critics said it was very pedestrian. I thought it was fun. I thought it was cute. A cute movie about growing up, a little boy looking forward to his bar mitzvah and becoming a man. And
isn't the whole point to
really
entertain
good.
To
really
establish
good.
A dialogue
coming
with
of
the
age
viewer,
story?
Too.
I recommend it.
The yellow screen.
Yeah, Frozen River, of course, is very very good. next week, or actually this Friday, I have to say, and I was going to play the interview, but I'm playing on Wednesday. I interviewed Seth Rogen and James Franco and Danny McBride
and
Rosie Perez. Today.
And I wasn't invited.
You weren't there. You weren't there. But this was for Rosie Perez. She looks great. And she's so funny. Like, I have to edit all her curses out. But Rosie Perez, and the movie is Pineapple Express, and I'd seen the trailer, okay.
The trailer and the billboard look like a just dud. I mean, they just look
that's
so...
That's what I... it looked like nothing, but I gotta tell you, it's really funny. It's
Kevin
really
Corgan's
good.
Kevin Corgan's in that, Mike.
Yeah, Kevin Corgan's in it. It's fun. It's a fun movie. I was surprised at how good it was, how much I laughed, how much I enjoyed it. You don't have to be like a stoner to enjoy it. Or a pothead or anything. And I think, and they said this in all their interviews, that's what they were aiming for, just to make a good movie that it's a fun premise, but it's not this.
It's really funny.
It's really, it does some stupidity, but it's really funny throughout. It's really funny, and there's just a lot of some inspired lunacy, I believe.
I like that.
That was my quote. All right, but anyway, so I recommend it. I recommend going to see it. I also saw a movie that I normally would never see, but I went to the premiere. And we were supposed to be giving away some tickets, but there's just things that happen here at BAI. But I went to the premiere of The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants 2.
Oh, what did you think?
And you know what? I never saw Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants 1.
I liked it.
I never saw it. But, it was good. It was fun. I heard that this is better than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fun.
I saw the first one.
You see, I never saw the first one. But it is. It's good.
It was
fun.
Good.
The first one was inspiring. They're all likable. They're all...
I thought from the title, I was stuck at someone's home and they were watching it, and I thought, okay,
exactly.
From this title, I'm not expecting much, they pulled it out. It was good.
Yes, they did. Well, I recommend, especially if you got a tween, please bring your
tween. Right. That's what I'm thinking.
It's right in there for the tweens. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
Brooklyn
in the house. What's up? Yep. Do you have any bad dates you want to tell us about? Any really bad dates you've been on?
Yeah. Valerie didn't like them.
No, there it is. Valerie, you bring this out in certain men.
We have 2.5 pervs call on an average matter booster.
Mike, was it a round table, or what did you do on the on that interview with Rosie Perez? Was it?
They paired them up. So you interviewed the duo. I interviewed Rosie and Danny McBride, and then I interviewed James Franco and Seth Rogen.
What was Seth Rogen like?
Just like he is on film.
Really?
Pretty much. Just a little more subdued, with glasses on,
He must be so happy, man.
He's 26. He's a multimillionaire. He's writing big budget comedies. He's going to be playing the Green Hornet next in a comedy version of the Green Hornet that he wrote with his partner. He's
I just watched Do the Right Thing like last week as well as Bad Lieutenant, which was another film I just had to watch twice. But I was just thinking about Rosie Perez and just wondering what she was doing these days.
Yeah, she's producing two films. She's in this film. She was just in another film. She's in the film with John Leguizamo called The Take earlier this year. She's doing a lot. She's doing very good. I asked her some questions that you would expect me to ask Rosie Perez. But if you tune in...
Remember that day you saw her at the restaurant and you were like, you had to call me and you were like, oh my God, Chris, you're not going to believe you're standing in front of me. And I was like,
I know you had your Rosie Perez thing. I called her.
You remember that?
Yeah, of course.
You're like, Rosie Perez, and I told you, what did I tell you to do?
I don't remember.
I said, go up to her and say, how you doing? Can you give
her an
air check?
I probably did not listen.
For night shift, you wouldn't do it. You don't listen to me.
Give her an air check of night shift. Like, here's my radio show.
She's like, I said for you to go up and get her to do an air check.
You mean like, this is Rosie Perez, yeah.
Please give me an air check, please.
Please give me an air check. Station ID, it's called, you fool.
Yes, it's called.
All right. Have you seen this show, Saving Grace, Valley?
No.
She's very good in it.
That's what I hear.
She's very, very good in it. Holly Hunter, I like Holly Hunter. Mm-hmm. Have you seen this movie, Drill Bit Taylor?
It's a big hit.
Just coming out on DVD now. You've seen it, Chris?
Yes, I have.
What did you think?
I thought it was good.
You thought it was good? Did you see the list? Did I think it was good? I did not see it.
But
the list. Did you see that? Malcolm McDowell.
No.
Will comedy, Patton. Mystery, adventure,
drama,
what?
Deception, greed, and deadly lust for power.
Oh, the usual.
The usual. Discover the power.
Mm.
Mike gets these stashes of DVDs.
Well, I have so many that have to mention that they're coming out and that they're out. Shine Light is on Blu-ray.
His home office is a fortress.
You know what they
DVDs.
Just re-released? What was actually a great movie at the time?
That's how Michael Stay Alive.
That's how I Stay Alive.
Selling them on the street.
War Games. They just released War Games. Did you ever see that? Matthew Broderick, Ali Sheedy, Dabney Coleman.
I must have watched that about, like, in the last year. I've seen War Games at least 6 times.
See? Let's see what life
would
is.
Would you like to play a game?
See? There it is. So War Games. Great movie. Ali
Sheedy.
John Badham. Ali Sheedy.
Ali Sheedy.
That's it.
It is a little... kind of cornball-y, though.
Well, it's a little dated. It's 25 years. This is the 25th anniversary of War Games, if you can believe it.
It's a little cornball-y, but I loved it. I just...
Well, John Badham, who also directed Saturday Night Fever and Blue Thunder and a number of hits back in the 80s. And you know what else they did? They have this Paramount has this line of movies they're releasing from their hits of the 80s called I Love the 80s. And they're releasing a whole bunch of movies, and one of them is Footloose.
That's a
I never saw this movie, Footloose.
Kevin Bacon,
Laurie Singer, Diane Weiss, John Lithgow. And you know what they just released, too, on DVD? The full set, Centennial Mickners. James A. Mickners, Centennial. Did you see it?
Nice.
20 hours.
Yeah.
Gosh, a rooty. With the... remember Robert Conrad? Well, there it is, Chris.
Was that in the 80s or 70s?
It had to be the 80s. Come on.
Yeah.
It had to be the 80s. What's his name? Richard Chamberlain is in it.
Wow.
Barbara Carrera is in it.
Logan Drudge.
What's his name? David Jansen is in it.
Oh.
Robert Conrad. Come on. This is, you know, mega... Stephanie Zimbalist Jr., Sally Kellerman.
Stephanie Zimbalist.
Now,
Barnaby Jones. Stephanie Zimbalist Jr.
No, that's Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. Robert Conrad. Timothy Dalton, isn't it? Mark Harmon. Andy Griffith. Raymond Burr. Dennis
Barnaby
Weaver.
Jones.
Lynn Redgrave. Sharon Gless. Sally Kellerman.
Barnaby Jones.
Shut up, Barnaby Jones.
My favorite was Mannix, though.
Mannix. Great score. You know who did Mannix, right?
What? Yeah, no, Jerry did.
No. Lalo.
Lalo did it. Lalo. You know what? I couldn't believe I was watching something the other day, and I couldn't believe that Lalo had done theme for it. The second one, I think. The song for Where Angels Go, Trouble Follows was actually Lilo Schifrin.
Really?
Yeah, because I know that Jerry did the first one.
Where Angels Fear to Tread or something like that.
But I know Lilo Schifrin did the theme song. It was kind of funny, man. Where Angels Go. Lilo Schifrin.
Hello, you on the air. Hello, you on the air.
Hi, I'm Lynn.
Hey, Lynn.
I'm calling from Southtown.
All right. Where is Southtown? Lynn?
Hello?
Yes. Do you have a story you want to share with us, Lynn?
Yeah.
Okay. A bad date?
Yeah.
Okay. Talk to me.
As Valerie had gave a guy fellatio.
Oh, there it is. It's very persistent, and he's got speed dial.
So sad.
It is sad. He's slipping into dementia. Hello, you're on the air.
I did the biggest show in television history. What are you talking about?
Hello, you're on the air. Hello? He's playing Possum.
What is this music you're playing?
This is Ryuichi Sakamoto.
Film score?
No, but he's done a lot of film scores. From an album he did called Beauty.
I feel like we should be sharing some amazing scented teas and dining on sushi. Something really good.
And then Mike slowly pushes over the wasabi.
Then I take that leaf filled with dew and let it roll down your arm.
You're tuned
to
this.
You have the most eclectic music taste, Mike. You really do. You always surprise me. It's like a flavorful meal. You have just the most eclectic music taste. All good.
I love Ryuichi Sakamoto. And you're tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio.
Right here at Night Shift. 99.5.